Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of The Weekly Planet, where we talk movies and comics and TV shows. My name is James, also known as Mr. Sunday. With me is always my co-host, Nick Mason.
Absolutely, we're back. We're doing it. We're deep into Madam Webuary.
God, you got to be, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely.
In this economy?
Yeah. You're wasting money not being in a Madam Webuary. You know, you're throwing money away. It's like they're stealing from you.
Did you get in early? Did you go on Valentine's Day? You could have gone early?
No.
Did you take anybody special?
No.
You don't consider yourself special? You don't value your own company?
Oh, that's a great
and yourself
point.
As a person?
No.
Okay,
no,
yeah.
Absolutely.
Nah, me neither. To that of you or me.
Great. Good. As long as we're all on the same page.
We certainly are. It's a big week this week because, of course, we are going to be talking about the latest Sony Pictures Universe of Marvel Movies movie, Madam
right.
Web.
It's Madam Web. It's Madam Webuary. It's Spum. It's God. We're in it, man. You know,
we certainly are.
We're in a new era,
and it's just gone. It's gone exactly as I thought it would, and in new and fresh, interesting ways.
That's right.
We'll get into it.
It's gone troppo.
Yeah, it really has. There's our time codes below if you just want to jump straight
it's
to that.
It's gone off chops.
Okay. Yeah. But before we get there, we've got to talk about the record-breaking Deadpool and Wolverine trailer.
Was it really record-breaking?
It broke a record, Mason.
Huh.
Yeah. Some new release dates for the Thunderbolts and Fantastic Four, speaking of.
Oh, that's big Fantastic. I mean, that's almost capable of eclipsing Madam Webuary.
You reckon?
No.
No, I don't think so either.
I was lying to myself there. It's the listeners.
I mean, we got the cast, which we knew.
But we didn't know.
We pretty much
we
knew.
We knew. Because somebody on Twitter broke it months ago.
Yeah, 6 months ago. And we also got the first kind of promotional image, and there's a bit of information in there, which we'll get into. We also got some rumors concerning a Midnight Suns movie.
Ooh.
Trailers ahoy for Godzilla X Kong, Invincible Season 2, Part 2, and X-Men 97. He-Man news.
He-Man
and the Masters of the Universe.
Wow.
And a live-action Miles Morales movie or situation might be sooner than you think.
How, though? After this? After Madam Webuary?
No, this is disconnected.
Oh, is it? Okay.
It's in a separate universe we can't access and they can't get out.
Because I was going to say, I mean, after this, obviously, there's going to be a lot of Madam Web sequels and stuff. Where are they going to find at the time in their production schedule to make a Miles Morales movie?
Does anyone even know who that is?
I don't think so. I don't think so. I mean, if you did, you'd go in to see Madam Web and it would just that information would disappear from your brain.
That's all you'd want.
Yeah.
All right, let's kick things off with this. So Deadpool and Wolverine, Mason, it broke a record. I don't know if you heard this.
I don't think it did.
It did.
Every aspect of what you're saying suggests and the way you're saying it suggests that it didn't break any records.
No, it is the biggest trailer of all time with 365 million views in the first 24 hours. That beat out, No Way Home beat out Endgame and this beat out No Way Home. So
you've got a little twinkle in your eye.
There's no twinkle, Mason. This is straight shooting facts.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's big. It looks like it's going to be big. It's probably going to be, well, it's R-rated. I was going to say it could be $1 billion movie. Mm-hmm. It could still be $1 billion movie being R-rated. But it looks to be there's a lot of hype generated. And,
and we love hype. You're at The Weekly Planet. We love it.
We love it. And we released a video earlier this week that Matt edited, which was the segment of the podcast where we talked about it. And the title was something like, is this going to save the MCU, et cetera?
Uh-huh.
And a lot of people are saying, no, I'm going to see it, but no, this is just a one-off situation. And it might be. And some people are also like, I don't want to see it. I'm not seeing these anymore. And it's like, I think you're going to see it. I think you're here and I think you will see it.
Yeah, how'd you find it? Oh, just found yourself on YouTube. Just find yourself on YouTube.
Having opinions about comic book movies.
And not even looking at the Deadpool trailer, but looking at stuff adjacent to the Deadpool trailer. That's really interesting. Dude.
Mm.
Dude.
So, yeah, this is going to be a big movie, even if it's dreadful. Deadful. Full. I don't know. So there you go. But let's move things along to this. Because the Thunderbolts, Mason, has been rescheduled from July 25th of next year to May 2nd. They're bringing it up.
They're bringing it up.
Which means they're going to have to start filming it at some point.
Maybe write a script and stuff.
Yeah. Get some people involved, Did you see the flutter this week? Because there's that new AI video generating thing that can...
Oh, you're saying they should just make the Thunderbolts
Yeah, just do that. And it's that weird drone angle just going through that they're using.
Some are interesting. Like I saw one of a chameleon.
Yeah.
I saw one of a...
Some puppies in the snow.
Exactly.
I mean, it's genuinely like impressive technology.
But also I would love to see what the source data on that is.
Totally.
Maybe the source data is a video of puppies in the snow.
Well, exactly.
Mauling a man. And they just had to cut that out.
Yeah.
There's also one of archaeologists uncovering like a plastic lawn chair.
Okay.
But they hadn't figured out the physics of the lawn chair, so they just pick it out of the ground and then it just sort of floats along in the air.
That's amazing.
It's interesting. It'll be interesting to develop like surreal images. But again, as I understand it, the technology now is limited to 1 minute.
Mm.
So they're going to have to do a bunch of them to finish the Thunderbolts.
Yeah, sure. That's fine.
Yeah.
Just do 1 minute 200 times.
That's right.
That's 200 minute.
Yeah. Drone shot, Thunderbolts. They're fighting Baron Zemo or he's on the team.
Yeah.
And there's Helicarrier, and the bad guy is you pick.
Yep.
You pick AI, pick one, doesn't matter.
Oh, my goodness. So, look, and this, I think this technology will be mostly useful for companies just wanting B-roll, because I don't think anybody really wants this. Even if it's, like, absolutely flawless, I don't want to see a movie of this.
No, it's not.
Because people are saying, well, now I can recreate my shows. I can be, like, Soprano season whatever. Why? Don't you want the people who wrote and were in that show to make the show and not just like a weird approximation of...
And it's it'll be dead eyes as well.
Yeah,
it'll be,
of course.
I mean,
if it's not, like, why do you want this?
It's not interesting.
No.
Yeah.
Anyway. It is. I mean, this is like the worst version of this that it's ever going to be. It's only going to get better.
Oh, that's true.
So maybe it will get to the point, but like...
Technologically,
yeah, but like story-wise, like what can you do with this? I don't know.
Remember that somebody released that video and it's like, this is exactly like The Great Gatsby. It's just, you know, look out, Baz Luhrmann, because we've just made The Great Gatsby. And it's just like people looking at the camera. Like all these trailers are just people... Oh, somebody made Lord of the Rings. They're like, this is more Lord of the Rings by Peter Jackson. And again, it's just people.
Yeah, like
elfin people looking into the camera and.
Yeah, and being like, huh?
Is that all you took from these movies? That's interesting.
Patrick Williams.
James.
Patrick Williams did a thing on it. I don't know if you saw his video because he did a version. He did, what's the X-Men one that he did?
It was X-Men, Wes Anderson.
Wes Anderson. And he did all that and he. Filmed it all and found some locations that Wes Anderson really used and found like period appropriate X-Men costumes and framed it beautifully and whatever.
He found them in the garbage.
He found them, yeah. And then he did like, well, what if I just recreated this now using this AI technology of where it's at? And it's exactly what you're talking about.
Just looking at the camera.
Yeah. Mm. Anyway, well, again, it's only going to get better, but we'll see.
Why did we go from Thunderbolts to AI?
Because that's how they're going to make it.
Oh, yeah, of course.
That's how they should make it.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that... The July 25th release date has now been taken by the Fantastic Four, which also looks to compete with Superman Legacy, which is coming out on the 11th, a few weeks earlier.
Yeah, I had a thought about this. Do you think this is Kevin Feige counter-programming to throw up to sort of tip over DC's apple cart, or do you think they're trying to build an Oppenheimer situation, a Barbenheimer situation? Like,
well, there's 14, 15-ish days between, so I think there's. If they're both good and you want to see them, there's room
super
there.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Like, or Fantastic Man.
I mean, if this was like Godzilla.
Four Man.
But if it was like Godzilla versus Superman or Godzilla versus Fantastic Four or whatever, people wouldn't think anything of this. It's because they're both superhero movies.
That's true.
But I mean, my thinking is that these, to me, would be very different.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I would see both regardless of doing the show, which is saying something because some of the movies we see, Mason.
Yes.
The few that we've seen this year, I wouldn't see outside of the show.
Wow, very interesting. And a betrayal of the studio system. We've worked very hard to cultivate a wonderful relationship.
We have a beautiful relationship.
We do, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they didn't let us on the Madam Web press tour, but that's only because we didn't ask.
And they wouldn't have had us.
And they wouldn't.
And we wouldn't want to do it. And we'd only have bad
God,
questions.
I think I would at this
and
point.
And they would only give us bad answers.
God, yeah, but imagine though. God, because you see people bringing, you see someone, I think it was from comicbook.com.
Did they bring in the meme?
Order a comic and was like, this is the first Madam Web comic. And she's like, Dakota Johnson.
Yeah, right.
Just like, wow, look at this. Yeah, no. Right, oh, yeah. This is the first edition, uh-huh. Is it? Great.
Wow.
It's really fun.
Did you own this or was it in the offices?
No,
or?
I bought it for this interview.
Wow.
Can I have it? I don't want it.
Yeah. We'll just leave it on the table. The next press junket can keep it if they want it.
So there you go.
She also did a I've been enjoying some of the Madam Web press junket. Dakota Fanning was asked to name all the Tom Holland Spider-Man
Johnson.
Movies. Yes. What did I say?
Fanning.
Howells.
Maybe she was too. Yeah, absolutely.
She was asked to name all the Tom Holland Spider-Man movies, and she said, Spider-Man, here he comes.
Yeah.
Spider-Man and his back and the Goblet of Spider-Man. That's good for her.
I agree.
Yeah.
I mean, she shouldn't have to promote this. It feels like community service. I know she's in it, but like,
yeah.
And like legally she's probably obligated to, but you know, it feels like work.
Sure does, yeah.
For everybody.
But at the same time, don't sign on to one of these movies and then act like you're above it.
Yeah, fair enough.
Or do. If you want to burn some bridges,
again,
I don't know.
She's a weird celebrity from celebrity parents.
That's true.
Of course she's like this.
Yeah.
Anyway, the cast is confirmed with the Fantastic Four. We already knew this, but Pedro Pascal is Reed Richards. Vanessa Kirby is Sue Storm / the Invisible Woman. Joseph Quinn, who people might know from Stranger Things, he's Eddie, is Johnny Storm / the Human Torch. And Ebon Moss Backrack. Mm-hmm. How do you say that? Bark?
I'm saying Backrack.
Backrack.
Like Bert Backrack.
Like Bert Backrack. Is Ben Grimm / the Thing.
Now, I would say, generally speaking, if you look at reactions across the internet, nobody seems to have a problem with Vanessa Kirby as Invisible Woman.
Yep.
And absolutely nobody has any problems with Ebon Moss Backrack as the Thing. They're like, these are good castings. But some people are like, Pedro Pascal, Mr. Fantastic, I don't think so. Oh, Joseph Quinn, he's a guy. Stranger Things, I don't think there's
a guy. Because he had a wig in Stranger Things.
Yeah, because he doesn't look like
Blonde
Chris
Johnny
Evans.
Storm.
But also, like, just look at any kind of promotional photo of that guy.
Yeah.
Any kind of like GQ photo shoot or whatever.
It's going to be okay.
He looks like a cool, handsome guy. And even the promo image, which I do you think they've done like a in-house promo shot just in casual clothes and that's been used as a reference to.
Oh, good. And then they did the art over the top.
Yeah,
they traced it, did they?
They traced it, yeah. Well, they got AI to trace
potentially.
It.
Potentially. Mm. I mean, it's pretty accurate to their likenesses.
Yeah. I think they probably did like an in-house thing in Marvel and then they just gave it to an artist and said,
fix this.
Yeah, fix this in post.
Well, what is interesting about that is,
you know the thing we say? Do that. Fix it in post.
Yeah.
You know the thing we say to everybody? Hey, this coffee that you got me, PA, it's a little cold. Can you fix it in post? Do you mean put it in the microwave? Fix it in post.
Fix it in post.
Fix it in post.
I'll fix you in post.
Boy, it's kind of stuffy in here. Could you fix that window in post? Do you mean open the window? Fix it in post. Just fix it in post. It's Marvel, you know what it means? It's hot in here. I'm Kevin Feige.
Oh, it's him. It's Kevin.
I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah, it would be. So anyway, the image was released on Valentine's Day and it is set in the 1960s, specifically maybe the year 1963 because the Life magazine that the Thing is reading is December 13th issue with Lyndon B. Johnson on the front cover. Now, I looked up this actual issue.
Uh-huh.
So I'm like, because you can see the back cover in the promo picture,
yes.
But the back cover in real life was an ad for Salem cigarettes, which is not
is
on
right?
the back cover, which I'm really mad about,
okay.
actually.
Right.
So this also speaks
and
to...
And now it's Marvel cigarettes.
Yeah, that's right. Marvel brand cigarettes, fix them in post.
Your lungs gone, you got some dicky lungs because you've smoked too many Marvel cigarettes? Well, fix them in post.
So do you think this confirms the initial, at least, 1960s setting?
Well, I mean, some people have said...
Who?
Internet people?
Yep.
This maybe is just, oh, it's a little bit of art because the Fantastic Four debuted in the 60s, a little throwback to that. Imagine if it were the 60s for these characters, but it's going to be set in the modern day probably. But I think the clues are too specific the poster, like the Life magazine. Otherwise, they just have him reading a magazine.
Yeah, exactly.
Or looking it on his phone or whatever.
Yeah, and they know that people are going to look into this
absolutely.
Be like...
I think that also it's the Fantastic Four.
I didn't even realize
as,
that.
As distinguished from Fantastic Four or Fantastic.
Yeah.
I suspect if I were to take a shot at the plot of this potentially, my guess is it's going to be because the Fantastic Four actually debuted in 61, I think.
Okay.
So my guess would be they have their origin briefly. We get a few little adventures.
Or they're already established.
Yeah,
like
yeah, yeah.
Spider-Man
absolutely.
Was.
And then we get to 63. And there's some incident.
They've already been like, I'm this one and I'm this one. They already did that.
They already did which ones they were.
I'm this one.
Yeah, that's
well,
right.
Well, I'm this one.
We'll fix these in post. An intern will do some research on what they're called, what their powers are, what their characterization is like. We'll put it in ADL. We'll get AI to do it. We'll just get some audio from Evan Moss Bacharach on the bear. We'll just have him.
Cousin.
Yeah, exactly.
This is good. But I'm mad about it.
Snyder cut.
And I've got a gun.
He does have a gun.
So often that guy has a gun.
Yeah.
Go on.
And then as part of, you know, there's whichever villain, I think it might be Galactus, people are suggesting it might be Galactus.
We're talking about a female herald of Galactus.
Oh.
And Javier Bardem rumored for Galactus. You want a big face.
You do want a very big face, that's true. And then maybe.
Ultimate Nullifier?
Yeah, maybe. But then their ultimate sacrifice is they're like, okay, we've got to stop this guy. Mm. We have to head out into deep, deep space. And then when they come back, due to time dilation or relativity or whatever.
Or they jump a dimension.
Yeah, I'm thinking it's going to be time dilation.
I think so too.
And then they come back and it's the present day.
Because then they can have a scene with young Michael Douglas and he's like, hey, get out of here.
Exactly.
I'm an Ant-Man. You're a rock man. Nice. That's not going to work. You know?
We'll fix it in post.
We'll fix it in post.
We can both be the same type of man. And then they're back and it's the present day and then Doctor Doom is the ruler of Latveria.
Oh.
I think that'll be an additional.
So you don't think that they knew him initially?
I think they probably did know him because they went to uni.
Oh, and he grew up.
He grew up, exactly.
Yeah. Okay, cool. I
mean, he's used their absence to become the ruler of Latveria.
I know Ben Bendo threw his hat in the ring for Doctor Doom. But you're already Skrull-Batron.
Skulbatron.
You can't be him.
You can be Skulbatron.
No, I mean, he's wearing the mask, I guess.
That's exactly
but
what I'm saying.
But keep him Australian.
Mm. G'day. Anyway, he's always
G'day
wearing.
G'day, boys. For you, is it? All right. Don't know about that.
Oh, yeah, that's not bad, actually, yeah.
Yeah, I think it'll be a Doctor Doom, like, tease. It won't be, like, a Doctor Doom movie, necessarily.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, the other person who appears.
Oh, it's four, is there? It's only bloody six cans in this six-pack. So what are you boys going to be having?
Zap.
Yeah, nice. He'll do a big
shootalizer, yeah. Herbie the Robot's there.
Too, he's new.
Yeah. Terrible beer.
Oh, yeah, Herbie the Robot is also there, yeah.
Yeah, which is interesting.
Mm. So he was the robot that replaced Johnny Storm in the Fantastic Four cartoon in the 60s.
Was that? I know there's the rumor that's because kids were going to set themselves on fire, but is that actually true?
Might also be a licensing issue.
Yeah, okay.
I mean,
there was a few human torches, weren't there? Like different versions from
there's a version from the 40s.
There's a hint at one in, I want to say, the first Captain America.
Oh, yeah, there is. Yeah, it's when Steve and Bucky go to the World's Fair or whatever it is.
Whatever
the
it is.
The Stark Expo. There is a Human Torch-looking guy in a tube. So.
But it's not the original Human Torch. It's not the fire one. It's this one. It's the original one.
It's not Johnny Storm.
No,
it's
exactly.
It's Jim Hammond.
It's Jiminy Storm.
Potentially. Mm. Let's look up Herbie the Robot. Let's do this.
What
live.
Does it stand for? Because it's H-E-R-B-I-E, isn't it? It's like an acronym.
Oh.
It's an anachronism.
Oh.
It's an anachronist.
Oh.
You want anachronisms?
No. The character was initially conceived for the new Fantastic Four.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this is 1978. Okay, so in 1978, the character of the Human Torch was unable to be used, as at the time the character had been optioned separately for use in a solo film which never materialized.
Oh, okay.
What an odd call.
Yeah, good as any. I like it.
By 1978, they would have absolutely perfected the art of putting that sticky stuff on people and then setting it on fire so they can run around.
Oh my God.
In warehouses and stuff.
Jump off or whatever.
Yeah, he wouldn't be doing any flying. He'd just be doing a lot of jumping off of boxes and stuff while on fire.
What did I read recently? I think it was...
Oh no, that robber's going to get away. The only thing that could stop him is a guy on fire jumping off some boxes and crashing onto him. He's done it. And we did it live.
Oh, my God.
Not in post. You're fired.
That's right. I remember this. Herbie turned up. Have you read Old Man Quill? So you know they did Old Man Logan. They did Old Man Peter Quill. And he comes back to Earth and he's an old man and he visits like the Fantastic Four place.
Right.
And Herbie's still there. And so he has like there's a fun little interaction with Herbie, which is, you know. A fun little throwback.
That sounds fun.
Anyway, will this be good? Anything can be good, but not anything, as we've learned twice this year.
That's right.
So far.
On the Fantastic Four cartoon, Herbie was voiced by Frank Welker.
Oh.
Bring him back, I say.
Megatron Zone.
Bring him back.
Among other things.
Yeah, or get Hugo Weaving.
Yeah, sure. I'll do it.
I am Herbie.
Exactly.
Filming
begins this summer. That's Northern Hemisphere summer for those of us in the South, in the deep, deep South, which I know we are. Check it out.
Check it out.
Check it
That's
out.
Your pitch, is it?
Check it out, man.
Great. Wow.
Okay.
Any other thoughts on Fantastic Four, though?
I think it's a good.
I like it. I like the idea. Look, from what we've seen so far, I like it.
Yeah. I mean, again, they've mocked up Pedro Pascal with the white at the temples. I think it looks good.
Yep.
He has a beard sometimes in the comics.
Sometimes he got a beard. Mm. Who's calling me? My mum.
Well.
Let me get this.
Yeah, all right.
Sometimes somebody died.
Yeah, I know.
Hello? That's my mum.
Oh, thanks, mum. Oh, thanks, mum.
Yeah. It's good to thank you, mum.
Oh, I'm grateful, mum.
Man.
Grateful for the gift of life, mum.
Oh, I'm done about that.
Yeah.
This is also directed by Matt Shakman, who more recently worked on, what was the Marvel thing that he worked on recently? Oh, he worked on Monarch.
And he did WandaVision.
WandaVision, that's right. So, yeah, good stuff going on here. We'll see how we go.
I agree. Probably just went, just do it like the retro stuff.
Yeah.
They went, Matt, just do it like the retro stuff in WandaVision.
And he went, all right.
But by the end, if he could do lasers, he's like, I did that. Did you not watch WandaVision? They're like, no. No, we just saw the promo.
We don't watch it.
Yeah.
We just get him to fix it in post.
Mm-hmm.
It's rumor time.
Uh-oh.
This is
it's a rumor time.
This is by DCEU leaks, and also Daniel Richman confirmed this. A Midnight Suns project is in development at Marvel.
So this came from DCEU leaks.
They're leaking all things. Can't change a Twitter handle at this point.
Mm.
This is what it is. Michael Giacchino is one of the directors currently eyed by Marvel to direct. He did Wolfman by Night.
Michael Giacchino?
Giacchino, yeah, what did I say? I said the right thing too.
Yeah. He's also the composer, right?
Yes, he is a composer. He's worked on multiple composers.
He did the Batman.
He did do the Batman. That's a good movie.
It is, I agree.
They should drop the it's cleaner. Don't you think?
Or put it in the middle.
Put it in the middle.
Bat the man.
Mm-hmm. Bat the man, help.
Oh, looks like he's busy.
Or he's ignoring us on purpose.
Mm.
What do you think about that? Well, what are the Midnight Suns team? It's the spooky team.
It's the spooky team. It's Spooky Adventures, basically.
Yeah.
And it's,
usually Doctor Strange led.
Sometimes he's in it.
There was that game this year, maybe?
Last year.
Which apparently good, but nobody bought it.
But that was Midnight Suns, S-U-N-S, whereas the comic version is Midnight Suns, S-O-N-S.
Oh, my
but
God.
But then I guess they were like, well, if it's S-O-N-S, we can't have girls. So
great point.
Yeah. So, but I mean, the problem here, of course, is that in order to have a Midnight Suns piece of content,
yes,
you've got to individually have some. You've got to have some Midnight Suns solo projects. So you need a Blade movie. Is that
which is maybe happening?
Maybe Ghost Rider. Do they bring back the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Ghost Rider?
Well, they could put in. Isn't the Punisher in it sometimes?
So he could be.
WandaVision. Wanda and Vision, or just Wanda, you could put the spooky ones in there.
Put the spooky ones in there, sure.
That's the spooky. Well, Werewolf, obviously.
That's true.
Werewolf
and Man Thing, sure.
Yep, there you go.
That's okay. Well, the team's basically
Wolverine might be around at this point.
No, surely maybe. Not.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
Wow.
I know there was also rumors of a Ghost Rider movie this week. I don't know whether that's going to happen, et cetera. But, yeah, why not? I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, sure.
It's not my job. It's my job to do this.
Mm. Sometimes just Johnny Blaze and he doesn't have the Ghost Rider powers anymore.
Oh, yeah. But he's got his motorbike?
Sometimes.
Cool.
Yeah, sometimes he takes the bus.
A big fiery bus?
No, just a regular bus.
Listen.
I mean, sometimes buses just become fiery on their
own. I'm gonna be lighting this bus on fire for my trip to the shops.
That's right. Okay, Mr. Blaze. All right.
Trailers ahoy, though.
Punk.
We got a new trailer for Godzilla X Kong. Godzilla and Kong fighting again in this?
We do.
Is that okay?
I don't think it's okay.
They already had a fight.
Yeah, I know.
Mm.
But people, you know, they get along.
Yeah.
Then, you know, maybe Godzilla wrote his name on something on the fridge and then he went to the fridge for it later and Kong had eaten it. Or it was gone.
Yeah.
And who else lives in the apartment?
And you know it's gone because he left his big glowing axe in there.
That's exactly right.
You know, sometimes you accidentally leave your keys in the fridge or whatever.
Sure, absolutely. You do that,
Kong's going around. He's like, where's my big glowing axe? Yeah. I know you took it, Godzilla. Godzilla's like, why would I?
Yeah.
Why would I take the big... I don't use tools. I'm a lizard.
It's just a copy of what I do, if anything.
Well, it is. It's technically one of its plates, isn't it?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, that's great.
But I think Godzilla has gone mad because he's regenerating or whatever. Or he's got too much power. It looks like a too much power situation.
Puberty.
He's running around. He's got too much power. Yeah, okay, fine. He's running around going through puberty and he's got too much power because there's scenes where the Air Force are attacking him and he's blasting him with a big zap from his body. I think he's got too much power and then he's going to go, he's fighting Godzilla, he's fighting Kong, and he's going to go and he's going to go into that hibernation state, he's going to regenerate his pink Godzilla and then he's going to come out and he's going to fight Kong again and then Kong's going to be like, come on, man, what about this other big monkey?
Let's beat up this big gorilla together.
Yeah.
I want to know the scale of the mini Kong. We haven't seen it next to anybody.
No.
How big is it?
Because there's a moment in, I think, the previous trailer where it looks like it's going to be an enormous gorilla coming at him, and then the shadow shrinks down and he's a teeny little Godzilla. I think he's...
I reckon he's like, if you, speaking of buses, you flipped a bus up. It's like bus
size. That's, yeah, okay. Mm-hmm.
What are you thinking?
I think that's about right.
Yeah.
Sure.
Something to think about.
Because he's got to be, even as a baby, he's got to be significantly bigger than a regular gorilla.
Yeah.
So,
do you like how Godzilla, like the bad guys, he's got a bigger whip?
Is that whip appears to be part of Godzilla's glove, isn't it?
Part of Godzilla's glove?
Part of Kong's glove.
I thought Kong was battling.
He is, but I think that's initially part of his glove.
Oh, okay.
And the other guy whips it off.
Oh, I thought that was a weapon, because you know they have weapons. I thought that was his weapon, and then Kong needed a weapon.
Oh.
Whatever. Or whatever. Well, Seems like he must have lost his axe. Do you reckon he's going to get his axe matched? And then he's like, I need a new weapon. I left it in the fridge.
Mjolnir style.
I left it in the fridge, yeah.
Did leave it in the fridge.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it's handy if it's late at night.
Yep.
You open the fridge door. Maybe the light isn't working as well as it should.
And big glowing, put the big glowing action there axe.
To see what snacks Godzilla's left in the fridge eat them.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I love that they live together.
I do too. I'm loving I think the director said something along the lines of they're a real buddy cop duo in this movie.
Sure.
And I'm loving that. The more I see them running together, the more I'm loving it.
Yeah.
No, it's great.
I was never not loving it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm. And the more I'm loving that the Japanese Godzilla movies are like, this is about the failure of the government. And then the American ones are like, this is about dudes being bros. So that's what our movies are about.
Oh, my goodness. Mason, we got a trailer for Invincible Season 2, Part 2, another four episodes. Got some hints towards what's coming.
That's right.
The Sequids are back. They're making their way towards Earth. The Lizard League is there.
Oh, yes.
Armstrong Levy.
Some of these words would sound like nonsense if you were not familiar with the show.
Totally. Armstrong Levy is the big villain, it appears, because if you remember the last season and this happened in the
comics.
He's
interdimensional.
Yeah, he interdimensions himself and he puts all the brains into one brain.
He's got one big brain.
And he hates Mark Grayson across all dimensions and whatever.
It's anyone named Mark across any dimensions.
And there are hints towards what he does with these abilities and whatever. But if you haven't seen it, which you haven't yet because it's not out, but if you haven't read it, I'm like, because there's other stuff in here that I won't spoil. Like Mark Grayson with the cape means a particular thing.
Mark Capeson,
which I won't get into. March 14th, though, if you're interested.
Omni-Man still in prison?
Still in prison for being too cool.
That's right.
Too cool, man.
Yeah.
It's tough. That's the government for you, though.
It's tough to be a player.
Yeah, it is.
Like Omni-Man.
But don't hate the player. Hate the guy who used his son to kill a bunch of people in a train by holding his face up to the train and all the people mushed into him.
Yeah.
As they say. We also got a trailer.
Go on.
After many hints for X-Men 97.
That's right.
Which is a continuation of the 90s series.
I thought this was going to get cancelled. Like that Spider-Man thing that is probably cancelled.
That's still happening.
Is it?
But they've retooled it so it's not a prequel series, it's set in the MCU, it's like independent of believe.
Okay.
With some elements that carry over.
Are they doing Principal Coulson in that? Or
that was another thing they already did or something.
Right.
But yes, something like, if it's not that, it's something like that.
Sure,
and I don't
great.
Remember what.
All right, great.
I'll think about it when I need to.
Okay, Marvel will fix it in post.
X-Men
97, so did X-Men, did the original X-Men cartoon series end with Professor X dying?
I guess so.
Okay.
I mean, I didn't get all the way through it, did you?
I mean, I guess.
Because it came on once a week.
I reckon
sometimes.
In Australia they probably showed him in a random order.
Yeah.
It was that time when nobody cared about continuity.
I think it was also they did that everywhere else as well.
Yeah, sure.
And there might have been some DVD issues with what to watch.
I bet of the X-Men cartoon series from that era, I've seen a bunch of episodes five times and some of them never.
We did some. Did we do Days of Future Past once or talk about it?
Because
a lot of the comic book storylines, like they did like the Dark Phoenix saga, et cetera. Uh-huh. They do like Cable and Bishop and a bunch of stuff like that, time travel nonsense.
Cable and Bishop live together in an apartment, et cetera.
Yeah. It was a very good show.
I clearly put my name on that techno-organic virus. And you ate it.
I remember enjoying it a lot as a kid. I can't say I've watched much of it since. I don't think it endured the same way for me as like Batman
the animated series.
But also Batman the animated series, like it never really stopped. It has always continued in various incarnations. Whereas the X-Men kind of pivot into just what they were doing in the movies. And every now and then they do the, you know, like more recently, like here's the X-Men thing. You like this?
Yeah.
You dumb fucks.
you like this? You like these jangling keys? We do.
I do.
Here
actually.
At the Weekly Planet, we do. We love them actually.
Yeah.
Ling-a-ling-a-ling-ling. Oh, yes, please.
A lot of
ding-a-ling-a-ling-ling-ling. Ding-a-ling-a-ling-ling-ling-ling-ling.
Now, a lot of cast is returning. some new. The animation style is different because this is cel-shaded
3D
computer animation made to look 2D.
Yeah.
Once you get the character models, it's cheaper.
Oh, sure.
Because you can infinitely use them.
Yes, you don't have to draw every frame.
Every time, yeah. And obviously there is something lost in that, but there is an expediency.
Something to be gained.
Yeah.
It's fast.
It's faster. Yeah. Yeah. But
then you plug it into that AI thing.
Yep.
And then you can have the X-Men walking down all kinds of streets.
Oh, my God. So many
drone
different.
Shot.
Yeah, exactly. Magneto is
Magneto. Magneto's here somewhere down this nondescript street. He's there.
We can't go up there.
Yeah.
That's just a background.
Yeah.
Oh, he's there. He's on the same plane of – he's in our line of sight, which is good. Well, Magneto is
He's in our line of sight. That's perfect. So I can look at the camera dramatically at him and he can look back. This is perfect. This is perfect for us. God, this is expedient. Expedient.
Wow.
Mm.
Professor X is dead and Magneto is Professor X now. He's like, I was left everything.
He's inherited
that stuff. Do you think that's true or do you think he's doing a big trick?
You think this is creative accounting?
Yeah.
Do you think he forged Professor X's signature?
Maybe.
And nobody's thought to check.
Mm.
Maybe he found a mutant whose mutant ability is perfectly forged signatures.
That's probably possible too.
Mm-hmm, sure.
Yeah, yeah. Because they could also just go, no, we don't allow this.
What if we blasted a hole through your body?
Yeah.
Magneto.
You're not wearing your helmet.
Yeah, that's right. Mm. Did he have that luxurious long hair in the cartoon?
Yeah.
Well, it's been some time.
There's been a few times where he's like infiltrated the X-Men or led various X-Men teams.
Yeah, he's worked in the school. So yeah.
He's an anti-hero of sorts, depending on.
Sure. Depending on your opinion of killing Nazis.
Yeah.
Is bad or not.
It's killing Nazis and sometimes he goes too far, all right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. There's a moment where you see Gambit.
He supercharges Wolverine's claws.
Does that mean his claws are going to explode on impact?
I hope so.
Yeah.
I hope so.
That'd be cool. Is this version of Wolverine?
He's like, Gambit, you dog. Why would you do this?
Does this version of Wolverine have the bone claws under that? I don't remember.
No way of knowing.
God. And they look very thin from memory.
They do,
so
yes.
I don't know,
yes.
know what they're doing here. There's also, look. I've
never liked that bone claw situation.
No, me neither.
Never liked it.
Was that the Wolverine prequel comic that brought that idea in?
No, it was brought in
well before that.
No, before that. So it was brought in a storyline where Magneto ripped all the adamantium. He ripped all the adamantium off Wolverine's body.
Yeah,
and then everybody was like, "What's Wolverine going to do with that claws?" But then it turned out he already had claws.
Yeah, yeah.
And people were like, "Whoa!"
I remember you told me this. There's like a X-ray X-Men thing from like the 90s where it's a mechanical.
I feel very confident.
The machinations are built.
In his solo series in the 90s, there's a scene where he has to go through airport security and to show everybody that why he keeps setting off the metal detector, he puts his hand in the X-ray machine and you can see it's got like mechanical stuff in there.
Yep. The dogs just come to
visit. Is Ollie here? Is Ollie here?
Hello.
Hello, Ollie. Hello, where'd you go?
Dog time, everyone. All right, there you go.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, bye, Ollie.
Bye. That was fun.
Didn't seem fun for you.
Not fun.
Okay, great. That's good.
Not fun, mate.
Maybe consider patting the dog.
I pat my dog as many times as I want, which is none.
Oh, brutal.
There's also the thing of like, are they...
You would be a cat person.
I'm not a cat person, Mason. Mm. I'm not against cats.
Sure.
I just don't need another thing in my life. In general.
Not even the thing?
No.
Eben Moss Backrack?
I mean, I like him.
He's pretty good, isn't he?
Yeah. What was I going to say?
Also, he's been a Marvel guy as well.
Yeah, he's micro.
Yeah. Well, the thing, you said something earlier about a guy couldn't be another guy.
Yeah, but there's a difference between being a minor Netflix guy and a show... which may or may not be, but probably is canon.
And being
now.
A supporting character in a movie several years ago and then a supporting character in a show where you killed that nobody saw except for the last episode, which everyone hated because it was stupid that he wasn't in.
People saw Captain Marvel, the movie.
I know.
And he's going to be wearing a mask, I guess, if he's Doctor Doom.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, look, whatever, man. I don't care. Let him do it. I don't care. Mads Mikkelsen wants to do it or is rumoured as well.
I'm going to drink this too, Ethan. You.
Fine with me.
You hand me a straw.
A straw?
He needs a straw.
He would need a straw. Paper straw. There's a character that's like non-binary because it can be
morph,
anybody
sure.
And people are like, oh, here we go. And it's like, yep, it's the fucking X-Men, idiot. You do you not understand the X-Men?
I don't think they should have any minorities on this X-Men show.
It's also like it's...
They're just guys who shoot lasers and whatever.
I mean, it is, but it's also reflective of like, yeah, the character can be anybody. So obviously it would be, no, that's how it would work.
Uh-huh, sure.
Anyway, whatever. March 20, it's out. Some of them.
Great.
Great. Deadline, they said.
Deadline.
Now, Netflix, you know this.
This is our new segment. Deadline.
They spent $30 million on a live-action He-Man movie.
I should let you know that the rules for this segment are, mm-hmm. at some point I'm going to yell deadline and you have to stop.
Okay.
So even if we aren't finished with a bit of news,
yep.
you have to stop when we move on.
I'm happy with that.
Okay.
That's fine.
And go.
Netflix spent $30 million on the He-Man developing it. Remember the movie? Because they have the rights for like TV stuff, or they did.
Oh, live action.
Yes.
Huh.
But now it's they gave up on that and it's gone over to Amazon.
We've just given up.
Yeah, pretty much.
We've had it.
We're not doing
it. They're in the middle of filming. We're done.
Yeah. It went over to Amazon/MGM Studios, and now Travis Knight, the director of Bumblebee and Kubo and the Two Strings, is on board to direct this He-Man movie that they're never going to make.
Yeah.
Nah, this if they've got a director and it's at a new studio, this seems like a fair shot at this.
Absolutely.
This could actually happen this time.
Now, what do you want from a live action version? Do you want who can we cast as live action He-Man?
I think they had someone in mind. I mean, the Jack Reacher guy, obviously.
Oh, Alan Ritchson, sure. Yeah. But he must be Batman.
Well, you can't.
We've got to wait until that falls apart before.
Oh yeah, that's right. I don't think he'll be Batman.
No, I think he'll just do Reacher he'll just get more and more money for Reacher for years. I mean, there's like 100 of those books.
I think he'd be a good Batman.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. They must
But he was a guy in a show, James.
He was
Can't
a
be
guy.
A guy in a DC
well,
show.
Well, George and Clooney was a guy in a show. He was ER, then he was Batman.
That's so true, isn't it?
And then he was Batman again recently.
That's so true.
If I recall correctly.
And he's going to be ER again.
He's going to be Mr. ER.
Doctor. That was his character's name.
Doctor. And he always ERs on the side of caution, am I right?
Nice, that's good. What were we going to say there?
Deadline. That's what you were going to say?
I was going to wait till we're finished and then I was going to say deadline. That was going to be the bit.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
We could still do it.
I'll do it later.
Hey, what do you want from He-Man? Thor the Dark World, right?
Pretty much. Yeah, weird magic and technology, yes.
Yeah.
There is a certain appeal to the Dolph Lundgren version, that whole weird, terrible one we saw. But just go all out. Like, if you've got the rights, give us Battle Cat and all
weird
the
vehicles.
Weird vehicles.
I'm going to talk about the new series on Netflix a bit later and what we're reading. But yeah, something akin to that. Don't be ashamed of the thing that it is.
Mm.
It is this weird thing that's just designed to sell toys. But there's some. Whenever I watch that show and they'll be like, they'd bring in like a leech, I'm like, I had fucking leech in areas. Here he is.
It's Stinkor.
I didn't see Stinkor this time around.
Okay, right.
But good questions all around. Mm. If that was a question.
Many faces.
Oh, many faces, yeah.
Buzz off.
Skelglow. What's his name? Skullglow? You know that guy?
No.
Like Skeletor, but he's not Skeletor. Whoa. He's a glowing skeleton.
That would be awkward, I think.
Yeah,
What is he? One of Skeletor's minions?
Something like that. He turns up in the first season and they're like, shit, it's Skeletor. Oh, no, it's knockoff Skeletor.
Ah.
Yeah. It's like meeting the GoBots.
Yeah.
Oh, no, it's the GoBots. At least it's not the Rock Lords, I guess.
That's exactly right. What was the name of the guy and he looked like He-Man, but he was a robot? Robot
Faker.
He-Man?
Faker.
Yeah,
he's
nice.
In it as well. I know. First season, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. The Blue He-Man.
Yeah, Blue He-Man.
Blee Man.
Deadline.
There we go. Last bit of news.
Oh, yes.
Spy Variety, which is the spice of life, as we know.
That's so true.
Amy Pascal, who you might...
If that's not their slogan, it should be. It should be content as the spice of life.
And
media
is
a slice of life.
Mm-hmm. Amy Pascal, you might know as a Spider-Man producer. Used to be at Sony. I think she left, and now she just sort of owns Spider-Man. I don't know.
Good for her.
Yeah. A live-action Miles Morales won't be seen on screen, she said, until we make two more movies. So people were thinking the next two Tom Holland movies.
Yes.
But the Spider-Verse producer and writer Chris Miller clarified on Twitter, when she said not until we make two more movies, she meant Beyond the Spider-Verse, which is the next animated Spider-Man movie,
mm-hmm.
and the next live-action Tom Holland film.
Whoa.
So it seems as if they're going to go movie two in the Tom Holland Spider-Man universe.
Miles Morales, and then you do a third one where they team up for the whole movie. That's cool.
The whole movie.
The whole movie.
Or you kill original Peter Parker.
You kill him because you're sick of
it. It just happened.
We're sick to death of that guy.
It has happened. That was the original Ultimate Universe. They killed original Peter Parker.
That's right, yeah.
That's how it went.
Do you think if Tom Holland doesn't want to do Spider-Mans anymore, do you think they'll recast that Spider-Man?
No, I think there's so many – well, I was going to say there's so many Spider-Man / women options that you could use, but they've burnt through a few recently, haven't they?
They sure have. They've rendered them unusable.
You could also bring back one of the previous ones, you know.
Or you could just use them again because, I mean
– who cares?
That's what I'm saying.
Ben Mendo. Anyway
– sure. G'day there, boys. I'm the Spider Woman.
Deadline. We'll go to the next segment.
Okay, great.
Talk about Madam Web.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedy-ad-free. That's amazon.com/comedy-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
From the minds who brought us Morbius, Gods of Egypt, and Dracula Untold, comes Women Morbius.
Oh, yes.
I think that's kind of unfair. People have been saying the writers of this, they wrote those other movies.
They've made some Drake.
But like, as we'll talk about, a lot of things get changed along the way. You can write something amazing and that's then right. Sony do it. And then it can be anything. Then yeah. It can become whatever.
Matt Cesarma and Burke Sharpless, yep. Great names.
Yep.
They wrote, among other things, Dracula Untold, The Last Witch Hunter, Morbius, Gods of Egypt, all of which have very low Rotten Tomatoes scores. But yeah, but
Craig Mazin, didn't he do like superhero movie, which was like a parody?
Yeah.
He did the Scary Movie movies, and that's then right. He made Chernobyl.
Yeah.
So like it's really about getting your vision accurately portrayed
and having
the team behind
it. And they say in Hollywood, like if, you know, you don't make it long if you don't know how to play ball or if you're not talented in some way.
Yeah.
And I think what has happened with a lot of those movies, I think they've also written some good movies, but what happens I think generally is they write a good script, writers can write a good script, and then it just gets noted to death.
Yeah.
And they, you know.
Or killed in the edit.
Killed in the edit. Reshots. Or somebody has to, they're like, we need a scene where somebody says the game is on.
Yeah.
Or we need the guy to build a big fist out of bats or whatever.
I think that would have been in the original script because that's a genuinely good idea, in my opinion.
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah.
But now they've turned their dirty hands to Madam Web.
Wow. Let's get into this because on a budget of $80 million, they're doing these lower budget Sony movies, the Sony Pictures Universal Marvel movie, Spum.
That's right.
They did a similar thing with Morbius because that way you don't need to make that much money
to
turn a huge profit on these.
Make a hit.
But the problem is,
this is a hit. This is the equation for being a hit machine.
It basically is, but you have to actually make a product that people like and don't think is laughable, but not laughable in a way where they have to see it. They're laughable in the sense that I'm just going to see all the clips on Twitter and laugh at them through that.
That's right.
Yeah. So that's looking. It's looking at around what was initially a 20 to 25 million US opening weekend. Over like 6 days because it opened on Valentine's Day, but it might not even make 20 million at this point. No, it's dipping.
Yeah.
We'll see. Uh-huh. Monday the numbers will be confirmed, but it's not looking good. And the Bob Marley biopic is apparently doing much better, so that's kind of killing it.
Sure.
And, you know, this is where we're at. What do you think the story was?
Oh, come on, mate. All right.
Of so, Madame Web.
So
movie.
Madame Web is Cassie Web.
Yeah.
And no one likes her and she doesn't like anyone.
Mm-hmm.
And but then then
she has a big accident.
She has a big accident, she drowns, and then when she comes back, she can sort of see the future a bit in a vague way that's not really consistent.
Yeah.
And then it turns out there's a bloke out there and he wants to kill three women.
And he's Spider-Man.
He's evil Spider-Man.
Sort of.
He's evil Spider-Man, sort of.
Yeah.
And then she's got
it's really missing something about the webs, isn't it? It really takes an element away of.
There's some webs in this movie.
But not on here. What's he doing? No, he's not webbing nobody.
Yeah.
Mm.
Should be called Madam Web and Mr. Jump. You know? And it could have been a rom com.
And see, he could stick.
Yep. Okay, so Madam Web and Mr. Jump and stick. I think that's too many words.
You're right. Just yeah. Mr. Jump is fine.
Yeah.
Anyway, so go on.
That's it. And then she's got to save him, even though she doesn't want to.
He's out to kill
three women.
Three
girls.
Because they're in the future, in 10 years or whatever, mm-hmm. are going to come to his house.
Dressed as Spider-Man.
Yeah, and beat him up.
Assorted Spider-Man.
They're gonna basically do the start of Watchmen to it.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, yeah, that's right. Or the end of most movies that are fun where a bunch of people surround a guy and beat him up.
I find it hard to believe.
The end of the movie Death Proof.
Yeah, but like the three Spider-Women would team up. Go to this guy's house who haven't moved.
Just kill
and
him.
Throw him off a building.
Yeah, right.
It doesn't really feel like in character with either these characters in the comics. I mean, there's been so many versions.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And also the actors and the portrayals here.
Sure. Uh-huh.
Just a very bizarre. I mean, he must have really done something to upset
them. Yeah, right.
Because it obviously doesn't come to pass. Mm. So it's just kind of. How did we get here? Like, he must have tormented them for years and then not moved. Yeah. Like, just stayed in his house.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Fucking dreadful. What is happening here? I mean, in a way that's like, there's a lot of fascinating elements to this.
It's not good. I was entertained for the most part, but a lot of it is baffling.
Yeah, I think it's more, it's worse than Morbius, but it's more interesting.
I think
Morbius is boring.
I think it is more interesting and therefore better than Morbius. But what I'll also say is this.
Mm-hmm.
I think that Madam Web is 2024's Joker. Unless Joker 2 is also coming out this year, in which case it is 2024's first Joker.
Okay.
In the sense that is a very light sprinkling of superhero references.
Sure.
Over what is just a genre film.
Yeah.
In this case, it is kind of like lightweight supernatural horror slasher film.
Very lightweight.
Yeah.
I'm not dancing around any spoilers for this.
Okay, sure.
You've either seen it or you haven't. It's all been spoiled online.
Yeah, that's right. Okay.
Because if you're looking for superhero elements to this,
mm-hmm.
Madam Web wears a 70s leather coat. What year is this set? We'll talk about it.
Uh-huh.
And the three spider women who are destined to become spider women, that's only done in flash forward.
Mm.
And they don't do anything spider related. Or get their powers by the end.
Yeah.
Even at the end when they're all living together, there's still not spider people yet.
No, that's true, yeah.
It's kind of wild.
So this is sort of, when I say like a supernatural horror slasher, I mean sort of in the style of Final Destination, except there's no fate. The idea behind the marketing for this movie is that fate, there's a web and it connects them all.
Yep.
And there's fate. And so fate, in a way, or magic or destiny, connects Madam Web with Sims, who's the bad guy. Mm-hmm. But the other three are just around.
Yes.
So in a Final Destination movie, generally speaking, it's a group of people, friends or strangers, and they avoid death, you know, a sudden plane crash or something like that. They miraculously survive, and then fate sort of catches up with them individually.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is sort of Madam Web's deal, is that she survives this drowning.
And her powers are unlocked.
Because she's a paramedic.
Because and she got her powers because her mum was bitten by a spider as she died in the Peruvian jungle.
And Sims got his powers because he stole a spider out of the jungle and he was cursed.
And that's why.
But the girls just sort of live in the same area.
Yeah.
That's their deal. There's no revelation that they were all in the one place at the one time and some magic thing happened.
No.
It's just one of them lives in Madam Web's building. One of them
nearly ran into an ambulance,
and one of them.
Oh, her stepmom got hit in a car accident.
That's right. Yes.
Yeah.
And so she was at the hospital.
Sort of met some of them.
Yeah.
At one point.
But at some point, those three are going to get spider powers. How? We don't know.
It's not important.
It's not a story worth telling. Apparently, it's not. No, that's right. And all different spider powers.
Yeah,
too.
Exactly. Because you also could have. This could have just been a Spider-Women team-up movie, like an actual one.
Sure, yeah, okay.
But they went with this.
But it also could have been just this, like.
Or just do one.
You could
make one Spider-Women. One has powers.
Yeah, but I mean, you could also like strip out all the spider stuff. If I were to take this from the setting of it's just a horror movie about this unstoppable weird guy that,
yeah,
you know, they did something in the past. It's, you know, it's Final Destination. It's I Know What You Did Last Summer.
Yep.
It's any number of other, these other things where you get some young teen stars and you put them in the movie,
mm-hmm.
and in their characters at the start, they had some experience and they're like, "Phew, glad we got out of this." But then it's, you know, brought about the creation of this murderous monstrosity that follows them around.
Yeah.
I'd be like, okay, this is a bit of lightweight fun.
Yeah. And in addition to that, I will add, the idea of a Spider-Man, but he's a killer.
Yeah.
There is something in that.
Well, I mean, we've talked in the past about how it would be nice to do
Brightburn, like, for example.
Yes. Yeah,
so you take a concept and
yeah, your superhero movies, but put it in and give us a horror version. Give us a, you know, an espionage.
Give us a rude one.
Give us a rude, a sexy rude one, but also has to be good.
Yeah.
We should have said that.
Caveat.
Every single time we said this in the past 10 years of doing this podcast, and we've said it a bunch of times, we should have added that caveat. It also has to be good. And I in a way, this is our fault because yeah. I feel like we didn't say that.
You're right.
We assumed.
I kept saying anything can be good.
Yeah.
But I should have said, but you actually have to like
expend some effort.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. We didn't do that, did we? So this is, in a way, this is our fault and we apologize. But I, you know, and again, if you did, you could pick any number of supervillains in the Marvel Universe and go, what about a movie where
Kraven the Hunter?
Yeah, or no. Like, you could do a movie where some kids piss off Electro when he's robbing a bank or something.
Yeah.
And then he follows them through the city trying to kill him or whatever.
How about that?
You know, that could work, and this could have worked, but it doesn't work for a bunch of reasons. Here's some things I like. I like how unpleasant Cassie Webb is.
Oh, my God.
She doesn't like her job.
So aloof.
She doesn't like her co-workers. She doesn't like
a kid
mom.
Comes up and who saved her. She saved this woman's kid. No, she shaved a woman. And
she
a kid,
shaved a woman.
She shaved a woman. And the kid comes up and he goes, thank you for shaving my mom, and gives her a picture. And she's like, what am I supposed to do with this? And her partner's like, you just take it and then later you throw it away. Like,
yeah.
Have you never... Has spoken this never happened to anybody ever
right.
in your life? What are you talking about?
Like, did you not? I mean, I understand your mum was researching spiders in the Amazon before she died.
Well, so they didn't never, actually mention that
no,
line.
They didn't
mention. We see it, but it's not
yeah.
in the movie.
Some things that are in the trailer, but not in the movie. That line.
Yep.
Also, the spider women really doing anything?
Yeah. Everything you see in the trailer is pretty much here
yeah.
for the spider women doing anything.
Yeah, yeah. But anyway, I'm loving her energy. She hates teenagers.
Yep.
She hates doing stuff. She hates sitting at home alone, but she hates going out.
Yeah, it's interesting because, like, I think what they may have been going for, or this might be an accident, is that the character of Madame Web is quite removed and aloof and kind of above
yeah.
everything that is happening. Uh-huh. But at the start, like you said, she's a paramedic. She's like a public servant
yeah.
mm-hmm. Whose job it is to save people, which she does. But she doesn't understand any other element of just being a person.
Yeah.
And they put it down to, like, her mum disappeared and whatever. But, oh, God. So at the start when it says, like, association with Marvel or whatever. And
you know
then,
what they should have done? They should have bought Marvel Knights from, the banner Marvel Knights from
yep.
Marvel, because that would work better. Anytime I see in association yeah. with Marvel, I'm like, you're not fooling anybody.
No. That, and they must know that at this point. And the first thing it says is, like, on the screen is the Peruvian jungle, 1973. And I...
1973.
Na, 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 na. And I literally... Pumpkins. I went out loud. I went, all right. Like, that was that was how this began.
How dare you talk out loud in a theater and interrupt nobody?
There were some people there.
Interesting.
And anyway, her mother's hunting for a CGI spider for reasons we don't know.
Mm.
And she's 400 months pregnant.
Sure.
She's about to give birth to Cassie Webb.
Yeah, sure.
But the reason we find out is that Cassie Webb has some kind of disease, which is probably a fake Marvel Universe disease. Maybe it's real. I don't
sure.
know.
Mm-hmm.
And she wants to get
She's got ultimate nulliferitis.
Yes. She's got Thor's hammerus.
Mm.
But and basically she needs the spider venom to heal her daughter.
Yeah.
And she's got extensive notes about the jungle and research and who she's working with and different spider enzymes and types or whatever. But she and her daughter has all of that, but she never wrote, I'm doing this because my daughter has an incurable disease.
Yes.
And that's why I'm in the jungle when I'm 9 months pregnant.
Right.
So she grows up her whole life just thinking that her mother was just running around with spiders in the jungle.
And also, like, there's a scene we see in flashback her mother going to the doctor.
Mm.
You don't think that maybe Cassie Webb would go to the doctor
yeah.
after her mother died and go, what did my mother die of? Oh, okay. And I had an incurable disease, but I don't have one.
That's interesting.
That's weird. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, she kind of gets an incurable disease by the end of the movie.
But also, here's the thing.
When she becomes Madame Web.
The Ezekiel Sims is cursed to be evil Spider-Man because he shoots Mama Web and he leaves the forest with the spider, the special spider with the special
which
sauce.
Which he thinks cool.
Yeah,
cool,
but... and he is cursed to become evil Spider-Man. So what if Cassie Webb's mum left with the spider? Would she also get cursed? And then...
wow.
Then Madame Web would be cursed.
I guess
right?
so.
With
yeah.
probably worse than what she had.
Yeah. God, it opens with her just so much explaining like, I'm here because this is the particular thing and I need this enzyme and whatever. And then he goes back to camp and he's like, I'm going to rifle through her notes. And then she just runs up with the jar and goes, hey, I found that fucking spider.
It was in this
jar.
You
know what we were just talking about?
It was a jar
on
the ground.
Yeah, I found it. I picked it. I don't know. There's no holes in the top. We'll put holes in the top.
Yeah.
We'll put holes in the top.
Whose jar is this, by the way? I transferred to my own jar, but I didn't bring any jars.
I
didn't think this was going to happen, to
and
be honest.
Ezekiel Sims is just like, I'm going to shoot everyone now that spider's turned up. You could just go with her, like, and get out of the jungle. And,
yeah.
You know, there's a... anyway, she also, the vague powers. So there's a moment also where she flashes back and visits her mother and they hug.
Yeah.
What's happening?
It doesn't matter.
What are the powers here? Because she's got the Nicolas Cage next powers where she
next
can see
to knowing,
into the future.
Sure. She's got the next knowing.
I know, it's something I like. I think it's interesting how they filmed a lot of these scenes multiple times in slightly different ways. I think that is technically a difficult thing to do, and they pulled off most of them.
Unless you just get them to do three takes and you don't throw any away.
But you got
to
do it separately. Oh, well, you could do that too. You could do that, yeah. But like...
she's got the next unknowing powers. She can maybe send her astral form back in time or something. Sometimes she can split herself into three.
Yeah. How you're gonna make the ultimate? You're gonna make the ultimate Spider-Man choice. Every Spider-Man has to do this. I'm sorry. These three Spider-Women, they're all gonna die. Which one are you gonna save? Oh, all at once? Okay, great. That's really good. Oh, okay. All right. I want to talk about this.
Go on.
So she loves Mountain Dew.
Does she?
And that speaks to with at the start. She goes to they get a Mountain Dew. There's a big Pepsi sponsorship through this.
There sure is.
The villain does get killed by a giant Pepsi sign. That's not a joke. Okay, so I'll get into this first. So the spider women in this, they're supposed to be like teenagers.
Yes.
She's, you know, protecting. But the actors are 22, 25, and 26. And I feel like it does just look like there's three grown women just all hanging out together.
Sure, absolutely.
And the police think that – it's set in 2003. We'll get to that.
Mm-hmm.
And the police think that she might have kidnapped these women. But you could just go – like, but there's no, they don't know who Cassie Webb is specifically or seem to know who these girls are specifically. There's just a vague idea and maybe like a grainy security footage of her just with these three women and not holding them at gunpoint, being like, get in the van.
Yeah, yeah. She's like, follow
they're
me.
They're just running together.
Yeah, sure.
So she's sort of on the.
I mean, that was New York in 2003, man. Running together was a crime.
Well,
before
was,
Giuliani cleaned
it
up.
Yeah, well, the stop and frisk, you know, and all of that situation. But with that element of there being these three women that they're hanging out with, I don't think any of them are particularly, like, given much to do. For one, superheroing. But, like, Sydney Sweeney's in this, right? And if you see her in anything, whether it be, like, Euphoria or that recent rom-com, apparently, which I didn't see, or...
if you see her in anything, including the stuff you didn't
see. Yeah, I didn't see. She's in the first season of White Lotus.
Yep.
She's actually, like... quite funny and manic and like she does some great delivery and in this nothing just they're all flat and like whatever and it's like if you've got Sydney Sweeney you don't want to like do any of the things that she's capable of like doing
no
Also Ezekiel Sims is dubbed for most of this it seems
I think a lot of people are dubbed
and a lot of it's like 80 yard off camera it's like, yeah, you have to help me because I need this spider because of if I get the spider. There's a moment where I think it's Sydney Sweeney character was like.
He's sounding exhausted.
He's like he's like a spider person.
Yep.
Very good. Ben Parker's in this. And Peter Parker's mum. And Peter Parker as a baby.
Is that Emma Roberts as.
Yes, it is.
As Mary Parker. Yeah, so. Yeah, that's how we're tying it all together. We've got Adam Scott as Ben Parker. He's in this.
Yep. Who I like.
Yep.
He also played Ben in Parks and Rec, so this is confusing to me.
Oh, Ben Parks and Rec.
Yeah, that's right.
Whoa.
Yeah, he's fun. I think them, also Dakota Johnson and him as a pairing is...
because they're paramedic.
They're okay
a paramedic
together.
Duo together. Yeah, yeah, I think so too.
And it's 2003. Now, Dakota Johnson spoke to The Wrap about like how this came up to be. And she said after she came on board, there were drastic changes. And she said, I can't even tell you what they were.
Whoa.
So we had the theory, and we talked about this in previous weeks and so have others, that everybody in this signed on board thinking it was an MCU movie. Mm-hmm. And that's how they trick people into these. It happened to Matt Smith with Morbius.
That's right.
It seems to have happened here with everybody involved.
They should do a PSA about this.
Yeah, they should. That's right.
Or some sort of lawsuit advertisement. Have you or any member of your family ever been tricked into being in a spum?
You might be liable for compensation. But also,
you're liable for compensation. We're going to sue you as well.
That's right. I didn't misspeak. So it's 2003, right? Mm-hmm. But I think they've obviously changed this, and they've been very kind of cagey about whether or not that's the case. Uh-huh. But there's a few hints towards this, like just being all over the place. One being there's a moment where a guy on a train is playing a PSP, mm-hmm. and in North America, that came out in 2005. The Japan version came out in 2004.
Whoa.
There's a moment where...
Maybe his uncle works at Nintendo.
Maybe he does work at Nintendo and he knows somebody at Sony. There's a moment where Dakota Johnson just says, I just want to go home and watch Idol.
Maybe she meant The Idol, the TV series with The Weeknd in it.
It could have been. Mm. It may as well be set now because of some of the technology. There's a moment where one of the three...
Wait, when did Idol come out?
Early 2000s,
well,
around
that's
this
fine.
Time.
No, that's totally
That's
not.
What I'm saying. I think it's just put in.
Yeah.
But it's also confused.
That's what all movies are, James, stuff that's put in.
There's a moment where one of the teenagers pulls out a phone and they go, whoa, a phone. And it's like, hey, it's fucking 2003.
Yeah, sure.
There's teenagers have phones. In 2000, that wasn't unusual, was it?
I don't think
for
so.
For somebody to have a phone.
Mm.
And also, do you remember the moment where she gets a can of Pepsi and she comes
Boy,
to the barbecue?
Do I? Yeah.
If you look at that Pepsi, I think they changed the can to like either a 2003 version or a different product placement or something. Because she's holding a fake can,
right?
For like that, she's holding it a lot.
I mean, maybe they got you were so animated, you knocked your microphone
I did.
Over. I think maybe they got the Pepsi sponsorship towards the end of the production, and
okay.
maybe it was just a generic can of something, and they added it. But then, how would Ezekiel Sims be killed by the P in the Pepsi sign?
Well, exactly. There must have been some Pepsi development yeah. early on.
Maybe they're just like, okay, we're going to drop some blue screen styrofoam on you, and you're going to be killed by something.
Mm.
So we'll figure out what it is later.
Also, you don't want to be killed by the S for like Spider Woman or Man.
No, you've been killed for P for Peter.
I guess so.
Mm-hmm.
P for Peter Pepsi.
That's right.
And there's technology in this where Ezekiel Sims has been driven mad because ever since he stole the spider from the jungle, from the Peruvian jungle.
He's been having these dreams every night of these three random women dressed in spider costumes killing him, I think is a sex thing, quite frankly.
How can he identify them, though? How can he do it? Because he's like, how can I do it with the technology of this era of 2003? And it turns out he can somehow just tell a computer, which will put an exact likeness of what they look like in their Spider-Woman costumes.
It's special NSA technology, James.
You're right. And then you say, just de-age it 10 years without the masks, and this is exactly what these three girls look like
now. You
don't
know what technology was like in 2003.
I do because I was there, Mason.
I don't know.
And we all had phones. Yeah. It wasn't a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And I also think if you look at the soundtrack, it speaks to, like, the confusion about what was going on because there's the song Miles Away by the Yeah Yeah Yeahs, which is 2003. This is some of them. There was Scandalous from Mystique, which is 2018. There's
what?
Meredith Brooks.
2018, that's a 15-year discrepancy.
Yeah, it's the Stargate radio mix, apparently. There's the song Bitch by Meredith Brooks, and that's from 1997.
Well, that's fine, James.
Yeah. There's a song Toxic by Britney Spears, which is 2003, but it came out in an album, I think, the previous year. Because remember, they're like, this song's got to be big. It's a big song. We're all going to dance together on the table. There's boys here and we're dancing. I Think We're Alone Now is Tiffany from 1987. And the song that it ends on is Dreams by the Cranberries in 1993. And I think that is the biggest indication that this was a movie set in 1993.
Might have been, yeah.
I mean, if you look at the fashion, like a lot of the cars in the background, like the technology when it's not nonsense or clearly a reshoot, they've jumped time periods here. And I think it's reflected in the songs that they probably paid for and then later changed. And that's why the album is just nonsense, but also specifically around 2003 and like 1993. Like that's the kind of eras.
Sure. And I think you're right in the sense that if this were just a monster movie stalker slasher thing, you wouldn't need him to have the NSA technology, whatever, because he'd just be magic. But I think they were like, well, we've got to justify it somehow. I think he would just – if it were that, they would have a reason to be connected to him and he would know that via magic or whatever it was. But because they're unrelated, there needed to be some sort of element where those three are connected to him besides just...
Maybe he just bumped into them and went, that's them. Sure. Like, that's more believable than this, even.
Yeah, maybe.
Like,
yeah.
He ran into, he went looking for Cassie Webb and then he saw that they were all together for whatever reason.
Yeah, well, maybe. I don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know.
Maybe, yeah. maybe he met all their parents.
Killed them all.
Maybe he made his way back to America and then all their parents touched the spider or something or tried to stop. Oh, they one of them worked for customs and one of them worked for the taxi company or whatever, and they all touched the spider and he's like, stay away from my spider, and then they were all connected via the web of fate and magic or whatever.
Stay away from my spider, here's my address.
That's right. Or he could just not be. He could move house, couldn't he?
He could have moved house. That's what I'm saying.
They would have just not been able to find him when they went on their future murder spree.
Yep. Everything's over-explained. There's a moment where Cassie gets poisoned and she's like, hey, how are you poisoning me? It's like, we know he can do poison. We saw him do it earlier and now he's doing it again. There's a moment where Ben Parker calls Cassie when she's doing a big depression at home. And he's like, hey, Cassie.
Do you mean she's on the toilet?
Yep.
Okay.
He goes, hey, Cassie, it's me again, Ben. Anyways, this is why I'm calling, et cetera. And it's like, you don't trust the audience to like recognize the one person she's friends with.
Because Cassie, Madam Webb, has an arc, which is that she, I guess the idea of why she's such a weird misanthrope is because she doesn't trust anybody because her mum went to the Amazon to research spiders before she died.
Mm-hmm.
And while she was pregnant, and Cassie's like, well, I guess she didn't care about me at all. And then over the course of the movie, she learns that the reason why that was is because she was looking for a cure for the disease that Madam Webb had.
Yeah.
But then she's like, then when we see that, when she goes back in time and hugs her mum, she goes, oh, you were in the Amazon to look for a cure for me and you loved me and that's why you did it. It's like, we saw it. You didn't have to.
Yeah.
You could just.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, you could just have a look and go, oh.
Yeah.
You could even have a go, oh, I get it now. And if you, the audience, are smart, you'll also get it. But if you don't, Screen Rant will have an article about it. They'll say, Madam Web ending explained. Cassie was happy because she realized that her mother was trying to save her with a spider.
Article to recommend at the bottom, The Dark Knight Rises ending explained.
Oh, you better believe it. That's right. 2024.
Yeah.
It's a new article.
So there's a Mary Parker baby shower and it's very bizarre.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And even though there's a lot of other people there, it only seems to be her and Cassie interacting.
Yeah.
Everyone else is just on the fringes but just being like, ooh.
And then Mary Parker's like, Cassie, what was your mother like?
You don't know?
That her mum was dying. Well, exactly. You don't do some research.
Because you work with, you know, Ben Parker. Is he your brother or whatever?
Did Ben not clue you in and go, hey, when you're doing the party games, don't mention motherhood to – I mean, I don't know why you've invited her, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah, why would he even?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The questions keep coming.
They do, don't they?
Madam Webb, yeah.
Yeah. And sometimes in different time periods because she's got the freaky time powers. CPR comes up a lot. This is how you do CPR. If I ever die, here's CPR.
That's right.
Give CPR on me.
Yeah.
Because
you haven't done anything during this movie besides dance on a table and run around.
Yeah.
So I think you're going to need a hero moment, and I'm thinking it could be CPR. So what I'll do is I'll engineer a situation in which my heart stops and you can do CPR on me. Oh, you don't know? So I'll teach you CPR.
I guess I wanted to ask you about the final showdown.
Okay, sure.
Because earlier on there's a big fire at the explosion factory.
That's right.
And they have to go back to the explosion factory at the end for a big showdown.
They're
for
like, well,
some
we'll,
reason.
We'll call an emergency paramedic helicopter and we'll ask them to park on the top of the explosion factory. And, I mean, sure, technically some of them will be like, wasn't there just a huge explosion at that explosion factory?
Yeah.
That we were there?
Wasn't there an ambulance driver killed at the explosion factory?
Yeah, I don't think we should go to
volatile.
I don't think we should land on the explosion factory. I think
also, there's a big sign we probably can't land near because there's a big Pepsi Cola sign.
Yeah, yeah. And because of all the explosions, the building is probably not structurally sound. And I bet, like, on our helicopter map at the headquarters, there's a big X over it. And the X is just don't.
Just don't.
Just don't. But anyway, so they're escaping from evil Spider-Man and they say, okay, we're going to have to escape. We're going to go into the fireworks explosion building and we'll get a helicopter from there. And they're like, okay, here's some flares.
Yep.
Just put them in all the boxes.
That's great.
Of fireworks.
Yeah.
When are they going to go off? Doesn't matter.
Whose business is this? Doesn't matter.
Because sometimes they put a flare in there and it just sizzles for ages. And sometimes they put a flare in there and it just blows up immediately.
Yeah, man.
You're giving those to kids, are you?
I mean,
you're insane.
She can see the future.
Oh, that's true. She can see the future. She can see the
sometimes,
future.
Sometimes, depending. And sometimes she can control it. Sometimes
that's
she can't.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah. So, God. So we also get a very what's interesting because I didn't think they were going to do it, but Madam Web becomes full Madam Web by the end. And by that, I mean she's in a wheelchair and blind.
She earns her blindness and paralysis.
By taking a firework to the face
yes.
underwater. I don't know where the paralysis came in. Did something fall on her? I might have just missed it.
No, I don't know.
Because when she was in the wheelchair at the end, I went, oh, is this like a permanent thing? Did this happen earlier? Mm.
Big Birds of Prey energy. The Birds of Prey TV series.
The TV series. That's exactly what I thought.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all living in a loft together and looking at a big themed window, spider themed window.
And it was like, no matter what happens in the future, we're going to be together and we're going to be the birds of prey.
I got the line. I actually wrote it down, took out my phone. Whatever the future holds, we'll be ready. And the thing about the future is it hasn't happened yet. And it won't. This is it.
This is over.
This is finished forever.
Yeah.
I love that she comes in and she's wearing the Madam Web.
The big Oakleys.
Oakleys and whatever. And she's like, they're like, oh, you bought chicken for dinner. I knew that. Oh, how was your thing? I knew that. That would get real annoying.
Oh, sure.
And they really wanted to drill home that, like,
you're going to tell me to dial it back because you find it annoying. I won't.
Like, we get it. She's now.
I've finally found a personality that isn't, and I hate everything. So I'm going to go with it.
She can see the future. Like, we get it.
Mm-hmm.
We absolutely get it. And they're all suited up at the end. But she has astral projection Doctor Strange powers?
Yep.
She also that happens to her earlier. She gets punched out of her body.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Doctor Strange style.
Yes.
Is that a Madam Web thing?
Sure.
I'm just like, is this a specific thing that I'm supposed to like recognize and know?
No, I guess, but they're like,
no.
But they're like, we got to find a way to get her in missions. If we ever do another one of these, which we won't. She needs to be there to be able to do missions, so she's got astral projection powers. It's fine.
Anyway, also there's the birth of Peter Parker, and they say, well, Uncle Ben, he's going to love being an uncle because when you're an uncle, there's no responsibility. You get all the fun stuff.
Yes.
But you don't have to – and I hope he doesn't get shot in Queens, a thing that is alluded to much earlier in the
That's
movie.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Also, the responsibility line, I can't even remember who says it, but it's when you take on responsibility, great power will come. That might have been that guy in the cave.
It was the guy in the cave.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. And I guess that's true.
So true.
Just what are they doing?
I'm going to say best movie ever because I had a wild time.
I'm not going to say that.
Okay,
I don't see this. Don't pay money for it.
No, don't see it.
You shouldn't encourage.
Watch it on streaming.
This kind of behavior.
Yeah, what you should do, wait till it's on streaming and get some friends together and watch it like that,
yeah.
I think.
What do you think Sony's like, what did they think would happen?
I don't know,
with
man.
This? At what point did they know this was this movie? You know?
It's a great question.
Like, did they tried to fix it? Obviously, but
yeah, maybe.
But it's not. It's what.
Do you think they would? Because it doesn't feel like at any point, like the action set piece at the end, doesn't feel like that. Feels like that was always the ending. It doesn't feel like
yeah.
they because it's too big, even for a lower budget movie. Like for a lower budget movie, I think it's too big.
Big explosions. Yeah.
So it doesn't feel like at any point they were like, okay, at the ending. See, at the end, I thought initially because. All the gals fall off the roof and they're all precariously hanging on for dear life and it looks like they're all going to fall and die. And as you said,
save them all.
Madam Web has to do the which one she's going to save. And then she's like, oh, actually, I'm going to split into a bunch of different astral projections and I'm going to save them that way. And I thought that's the moment where they would become Spider Women or whatever.
Yes.
You know, she'd be like, well, I don't have the powers, but you can have the, you know, do it like Buffy or, you know, the other ones where.
They're already in there and they manifest.
Yes, exactly.
Something you hint at earlier,
and then they
maybe.
Would beat him up and then he'd be like, oh, no, I did this. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He'd be like, I caused the creation of these spider women and now they've killed me because I tried to kill them. So actually, you know, whatever. But they don't. They just she splits into the three beings and then she sort of helps them up slightly.
Yeah.
And then she just
goes, you're all right.
That.
You're all right.
Yeah.
Let's go.
And that also feels like they worked backwards. They went, okay, how could she save them all? What if she splits into three?
Yeah.
You know, like a spider would. And then
like when you cut a spider into three, it goes into three separate
spiders. And they're like, well, that would be absolutely out of nowhere, wouldn't it? And so they're like, well, what if the guy in the cave says, yeah, you could be anywhere at once. You could be in multiple places at once because of spiders. You know how spiders can do that?
Yeah.
You know how,
A spider could be in a different place than another spider.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But their web connects them all.
Also, a few people pointed this out, but this is on Reddit from LLLLLLI0, who said, at the end of the film, Madam Web starts looking in the girl's future, and there's this scene where the camera pans up to a building, and it's the exact same scene from Spider-Man 2 where Toby is running and jumps from building.
Oh,
building.
It's like a sort of pan up shot. It's
is this Sony reusing footage or what? Yeah,
must be. Yeah,
almost certainly. Huh. It could be a fun Easter egg, I guess.
Well, I mean, it's period appropriate, isn't it?
2003, baby.
Yep.
Also, like, it's obviously not set in any of the Spider-Man universes because with the killer Spider-Man running around,
nobody goes, "That's Spider-Man."
Oh wait, he's got a knife.
Yeah,
and no webs.
No webs. That's Mr. Jumps. Look out. Yeah, if it was, you're absolutely right.
It's not said anywhere.
Because they're all, if any of those kids were native New Yorkers, when they saw a guy crawling on the roof, they'd be like, they wouldn't go, that's a crawly man.
Yeah.
They'd go, they call him Ceiling Guy. And I think it'd be funny if Spider-Man was called Ceiling Guy by everybody. Because you can't control it.
No, you really can't.
I mean, unless you hold a press conference and go, just so you know, day I'm
one,
Spider-Man.
Day one, yeah.
If you were crawling on the ceiling, people would call you Ceiling Guy and you'd be that forever. Even if you made a concerted effort to walk on the ground,
yeah,
it would still be like, it'd be like Ceiling Guy's on the ground now.
It's like if your mum ran up to the school bus on the first day of high school because you've got your lunch and she gave you the lunch, you'd be Mummy Lunchbox Man.
You'd be Mummy Lunchbox Man.
For the rest of your life.
That's right.
Yeah. Anyway, I got some reviews here. This one's from Adam who says, Madam Web, predictably terrible, but the best spum movie yet. The exchange between Anya and Maddie about friction, gravity and science will go down as one of the worst exchanges in comic book movie history. The turd in the wind universe marches on. I don't even remember what's that friction gravity scene? I think
might be a scene because Madam Web drives them. She steals a taxi.
Oh, yeah.
And she drives them all.
Steals a lot of cars.
She hits a lot of people with cars as well.
Yeah.
Mostly Evil Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
But then they go into the forest and I think the girls are sitting by a fire and they're talking about how he crawls up the walls or something.
That's fun.
Yeah. Also, the girls decide to go to a diner. Madam Web leaves to do some stuff. She's doing a lot of, I got to go. Stay here.
I got to go.
I got to sort some stuff out. And the girls all leave to go to a diner and they leave their fire going. And I'm like, no, you shouldn't do that.
Don't do that. Yeah, yeah.
That causes forest fires. Don't do that.
Yeah. Why did she pry the plates off the taxi? I think she could have just driven around and
nobody
would.
Have you never done a crime, James, involving a taxi? No, but then you're driving around.
I think it's more obvious, especially in 2003, because you'd have to ring in every taxi that you see. And nobody's actively looking for a taxi, really. Oh. So, like, it's more – if you didn't have plates, you'd be more likely to get pulled over, you'd think.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, you're right. Okay.
Anyway, Benson Maid says, we're 2 months into 2024 and you've only reviewed 3 movies, Beekeeper, Argyle, Madam Web. I rank them, number 1, B, number 2, Web, number 3, Argyle. Would you? Argyle is technically a better movie,
sure.
I would say, because there's clear direction and there's a point in action sequences and characters and stuff. But I don't know whether I had more fun in Argyle than this.
I think there are elements to Argyle. I think there's a couple of action sequences that are very good. I think a lot of that's a real drag.
Yeah.
I think this is
somehow, and this didn't drag, did it, Mason?
No, this is somehow less of a drag. I don't know what happened.
It's more, I think for me, it's more like this is fascinating than a good movie.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, how did this get, what are we doing this now for?
I wish you could have a podcast called What Are We Doing This Now For?
Vinton says, I think Spum believes that making movies more comic booky means everyone's saying everything they're doing all the, means everyone's saying everything that they are doing all the time, and a no web Spider-Man is boring to watch. Anyways, I can't believe this movie was made.
There is a moment where Sims is trying to, he's pursuing the gals. They're in Times Square or whatever it is.
This is the villain Ezekiel Sims.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Not the Sims. They're not being pursued by a box copy of the Sims.
Sure.
Which would have been big in 2003, I assume.
Completely agree.
And he's on top of a car and he does a leap, but it cuts instantly because it's like, where are you going to go? You are not leaping far enough to get onto any of those buildings.
And you can't web.
You can't web, so couldn't he have webs?
Why couldn't he? Or a rope or a grappling hook.
Sure.
The other guys have grappling hooks in the jungle, don't they, and vines and shit?
Oh, yeah, they do, don't they?
Yeah, man.
Yeah, give him a hook on a chain or whatever.
Yep, give him a hook on a chain. And Sham says, Madam Web was the exact wet fart you sort of expect it to be. Zero action and dialogue, so funny I almost couldn't stop laughing. Vibe of the crowd also wasn't great. Really felt like nobody wanted to be there. How busy was your screen?
I reckon there was maybe 8 people in the cinema.
Yeah, I had about the same. And I reckon I booked online about 20 minutes before it started.
Yep.
And there was nobody in the cinema.
Oh, you would have been in for a treat.
Yeah, but then when I got there, like, the old people roll in. Sure, yeah. So there's probably eight people in total, including me. I was the only one by myself.
Some stuff got laughs in the theater. I remember thinking that's actually kind of a funny line, and that's not bad.
Sure.
Look, I think
were you doing zingers? Is that how
that's,
that happened?
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
That's typical of you. Yeah. I love that.
Feature. More like Mr. Jumps, I said, and everybody laughed.
Woo!
I don't know. I think Dakota Johnson's in this is pretty fun. I think.
Yeah,
it's worth a free viewing. So when it's free,
yeah, it's she's very I say funny. It's not right. It's not the right.
There
word.
Is a line where she goes to the barbecue after she's drowned, and she's like, you know, they say after you. Something cardiac arrest, but now I'm fine. Like the delivery was very funny. I couldn't tell you what
I
it was.
I find her delivery in general just so like her cadence is so weird and aloof. Sure, okay, yeah. And like even her as a person, like it's the same.
Yeah.
That's what I find really
amusing.
She
was in 50 Shades of Grey, right?
Yeah, she was.
Okay.
She was Dorian Gray or whatever.
Nice.
Yeah, cool. All right, should we move it along?
Let's move it along.
What a great movie. Good start to the year. Two bad movies out of the gate.
Oh, incredible. So Dune 2 is in 2 weeks.
Yeah, we got
that. What are we going to do in the meantime?
God, I don't know. Who knows, Mason? We'll have to figure it out.
Great. I love that.
What are we going to talk about next, though? What segment?
Oh, it's what we're reading.
Yep.
What are we going to read?
Here we go.
I'm doing the thing. What are we reading today?
What have you been doing, bro?
I finished watching Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
And?
I think it's very good.
I agree.
It's a good show. Good fun, solid, looks stylish. I enjoy very much how the season, it's a sort of, I think it maybe would have worked better week to week.
Yeah.
Because you got.
There's some intrigue.
There is some intrigue and you got.
Mystery characters.
I mean, I guess I could have, you know, exhibited some discipline and actually watched one episode a week.
But for once in your bloody life.
But why would I? They were compelling. And I'm like.
Yeah.
I'm going to keep watching.
You were compelled.
But I liked how every episode was like a mission of the week,
yes.
But it was also like a stage of the relationship.
Yes, exactly.
So there's an episode.
And sometimes there'd be a huge time jump.
Yeah. So there was an there's an episode, for example, where they have Ron Perlman's the guest star.
Yeah.
And they have to, they go to Europe and they have to safeguard him because people are trying to kill him.
Beautiful Europe.
Beautiful Europe. But I liked how also that episode is about like that stage of a relationship where you're like, would we be good parents? Let's get a dog.
Yes.
And Perlman is the dog. Because he's like, they've got to force him to take his pills.
And he was a dog man in Beauty and the Beast
or
whatever.
That's right, yeah. And so he's like, I don't want to take my pills. I don't want to take
I want a cigarette.
I peed myself. And he's like, we'll give you a cigarette when you take your pill. And then he takes his pill. They're like,
give you a cigarette when you pee yourself.
We don't have any cigarettes. I thought I thought the structurally the whole season was very good.
Their dynamic is terrific.
I agree.
And just like the flaws that like they highlight for both the characters, the action's really fun and like you're like, oh, people are getting hurt. It seems like people are really getting hurt.
And that's great. That's what we love.
Not that this is relevant, but do you think it's actually set in the Mr. and Mrs. Smith 2005 universe?
Oh,
could it be?
Do you think there's going to be a Pitt Jolie?
I mean, I doubt it because that's not a good
situation.
They're
very much on the outs for a bunch of reasons.
Yeah, but I don't know. I like that they jump straight into the fact that they're just a couple and they know they're spies. It wasn't this kind of like, when are they going to find out the other one's a spy or whatever. Like there is that distrust between them, but it's still, you know.
Yeah.
It's just a very interesting and well plotted out show.
I hope there's a second season.
Me too.
Because it does end on a cliffhanger.
It certainly does. But, also, like they meet some other Smiths in this.
I think
that's a really interesting dynamic.
And who are they? Is one of them?
One of them's the guy from Narcos. The other one's Parker Posey. Yeah.
You got to.
One of those.
There's a Parker Posey, but there's also a Posey Parker who's a different figure.
That's right. Yeah. An awful woman.
An awful woman. Yeah, she's just awful.
That's right.
Yeah, but it's Parker Posey. Great guest stars.
Yeah.
Paul Dano.
Every week there's somebody showing up.
Yeah, right.
You're like, oh, really?
Oh, really?
Sharon Hogan's
in
this.
Must be nice.
Must be. Oh, The Rocketeer was in it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And that's fun. There's some great looks.
Because you asked me who that guy was going to be.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I shan't be spoiled.
Yeah. Yes. But there's some great fashion stuff in this as well.
I agree.
Which I'm absolutely loving. just a delightful show.
That's right. And you've been watching something also?
I've been watching Master of the Universe while I finished it. Revolution, which is the sequel series to the last Kevin Smith series.
Which was Revelation.
Yes. So it's a shorter series and they kind of, it's more He-Man focused of people like, there's not enough He-Man in it, which I can also understand. But this is, more He-Man centric and Hordak shows up and he's
Hordak.
Like, I'm bringing technology into He-Man's universe and whatever. Wow. And I really like it. I think it's a really good interpretation. And it does also feel like a sequel to the original because you see, again, weird characters and vehicles show up and whatever. And the universe also moves forward. So, like, people figured out who He-Man is and now it's just known, you know, and it's stuff like that. It's not doesn't go back to the status quo.
Yeah.
It's a universe that is constantly, like,
Does he ever then transform back into Prince Adam? Or is
he'll still do it. He'll do it.
Okay.
Every now and then, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Battle Cat.
Yes, it must be tiring to be He-Man all the time.
No, he loves it.
Okay.
He loves it too.
Sure.
So, yeah, if you
maybe like, if you want to get through a narrow doorway or something,
sure,
go transform back into Prince Adam.
If you like the first season, this is, I think, the good continuation.
Okay.
And if you watched it but didn't like it, I think there's things in this which is more original He-Man, which I think you could get on board
Sounds
with.
Sounds like there's some for everyone.
But I like the first series though, so
I do also.
And I like the voice cast. It's a great voice cast. Mark Hamill is Skeletor.
That's true.
And others.
Yes.
William Shatner's in it.
Oh.
Yes, that's fun.
As himself?
Yes.
How did I even get here?
Weird vehicles.
Mm. What else have I been reading?
I don't know what you've been
reading. I got the deluxe hardcover edition of Crisis on Infinite Earths.
Oh, my God. Why would you do it?
I love it. I don't know. I can't get enough of that series.
Could I have it?
You don't want it. You'd throw it away.
This is the original, yeah?
Yes.
Great.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Can I see it?
I don't have it here.
Just to get my greasy hands on it.
I guess. I'll bring it over next
week. Yeah, cool. Thanks. Yeah. I'm going to grease it up. All right, should we move it along?
Time for letters.
Time for letters.
Time for letters.
Time for letters.
The classic one was letters, oh letters, we love you. Some letters, they're only a day away.
I'm out of here right now. We're going to do letters.
You know what's coming up?
What's that?
This week on Caravan of Garbage, we're finally doing the last Airbender Caravan of Garbage, which was recorded in 2020.
Okay.
Or something like that.
Sure.
What was really scary about bringing this to the modern day, Mason, was that I thought I'd lost the file and I thought I was going to have to watch it again and then re-record the whole thing.
Then I'd have to watch it
again. Then you'd have to watch it again too and I have to resurrect. Oh. So I had to basically find an old laptop, which was two laptops deep, because you know I just make a pile of old laptops.
Yeah, sure.
And crack that open and one of the hard drives is corrupted, so I had to fix it and like managed to get it working for long enough to get the original file off. And now it's happening this week. Yes. So there you go. It's done. It's happening. Ben and Lawrence are currently editing it. Anyway, if you do want to reach the show, you can hashtag Weekly Planet Pod on Twitter. That's hashtag Weekly Planet Pod.
Or
shoot a Gmail to weeklyplanetpod@gmail.com. Is that right?
I think so.
Am I saying
like
that correctly?
Yeah.
So what do we got?
Here's an email from, I think I'm going to pronounce it Skylar.
Skylar.
Who emails in and said, Madam Web made my girlfriend sick. My girlfriend and I decided to watch Madam Web on Valentine's Day.
Congratulations.
Mainly because we wanted to make fun of it because there's no way it wasn't going to be terrible. But we were blown away by the swinging camera angles and constant mini flashbacks that were so nauseating, causing my girlfriend to get motion sickness, so we had to leave. However, we left right when stuff started happening in the third act. Was it good? Should I go back and watch it or wait for a clip to come out on YouTube?
The
second thing.
Don't pay well, that's more another, money.
That didn't factor into my viewing at all, but it's interesting to know that some people are going to get motion sickness from this movie.
From a movie that's already bad.
Mm. So, yeah.
It is interesting.
No, absolutely. If you skipped our review of this to get to the letters for some reason, don't wait till it's free. Or stuff will come out on YouTube.
Yeah.
Stuff is already coming out on YouTube, I'm pretty sure.
You get it also. Like, you got that far. You get it.
You get it. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. If you were like, oh, the third act's going to have an incredible, there's going to be something we've never seen in a superhero movie before. No.
Yeah, that's fun.
It is fun.
It's from Ed Day, hashtag Weekly Planet Pod. What if the twist of the new Jurassic Park /world is that it's a new park and everything is fine? Everyone has a good time. Get a novelty pencil case from the shop, that sort of thing.
I love that.
I would love a Jurassic Park experience like that, though. If Jurassic Park was real, that's how I would want it to go. Like, I'm not running and getting picked up by a pterodon.
Do you think they would do...
Tetradon.
Do you think they would, if you paid extra, they would do a sequence where it seems things are going out of hand?
Oh, yeah.
What if they do that for the new movie? They're like, okay, sure, remember the old Jurassic Parks and every time we built a Jurassic Park, there was a disaster.
It's like the Gremlins ride at Movie World.
Yes, exactly.
Where, like, you're watching a movie, but it's actually the Gremlins have got loose.
Yeah. And what if they were, like, as a PR thing in the movies, they're like, well, you know, if you pay $100, you get to be in the scene where everything goes wrong. You know, just imagine being back there or whatever, and then everything does go wrong.
I'd be up for that.
That's cool.
But I'd also just rather a good movie where there's not a Jurassic Park, where all the dinosaurs are doing a Mad Max.
Well, I mean, we're at Jurassic World now.
Exactly. We're supposed to be there.
We're supposed to be in the Jurassic World. Yeah.
What do you got, Mason?
This is from Alistair.
Alistair?
Letterboxd-related question for the boys.
There we go.
That's us because we're the boys.
That's true. Like the show.
Hello, little sweet men from the podcast.
We're regular sized.
I don't know if you've seen these interviews Letterboxd does on various red carpets where they ask actors, filmmakers, anyone what their top four movies of all time are. If you two were ever in that situation, what top four movies would you choose and why? We don't have to choose four. Just what?
Off the top of my head?
I mean, if I were in that situation, I would do it in advance.
Oh, totally.
If there was ever a chance I'd be on a red carpet for anything, I would watch red carpet stuff and I would do extensive research on who's going to show up and be like, what are they going to ask?
Eat this hot sauce.
Yeah, exactly. That's right. I would test run all the hot sauces.
Yeah.
Also, if I was ever in the Criterion closet, I would go through the Criterion list beforehand, days in advance, and I would pick out
and
a bunch.
And then what if you can't find them in the day?
I'd
presumably they're alphabetical.
Yeah,
what if they're random?
They might be by filmmaker alphabetical.
Oh, my God.
So I'd have to remember them, but I'd also have to remember the filmmaker's name.
I hate that.
Yeah, I hate that also.
They got all the Marvel movies in there?
Yeah.
Then I just pick those.
There's a Marvel section, yeah.
Yeah, good.
It's towards the bottom.
Yeah. For me, Butch Cassidy, the Sundance Kid is up there for me. Yeah. The movie Sunshine, Danny Boyle. That's one of my favorite movies. There's two. What do you got?
I would do Soderbergh Ocean's 11, I think.
That's a good movie.
I think that's a good movie. And then that three more times.
But not the sequels?
No.
Not the three sequels?
No. Oh, my God, there are three sequels, aren't they?
You could.
And there's a prequel on the way, maybe.
Margot Robbie and I want to say Ryan Gosling, but that can't be right again, can it?
Ooh.
That can't be right again.
It can't be right again.
I'll give it a quick googs.
Yeah, give it a quick googs. I would have to. I'd have to do extensive research. I'm amazed that people can. And it also becomes this sort of, I mean, I guess it's only for a day. If somebody comes up with four kind of like non-auteur, like if somebody comes up with two.
It is Margot Robbie and Ryan
Gosling,
yeah.
If somebody comes up with four really obscure art house movies, everybody's like, boo, those can't be your real favorite movies, boo.
Yeah, exactly.
Where's Batman or
Where's
whatever?
Batman 89?
Exactly. And if somebody's like, oh, I love well, actually, I love Toy Story and I love Toy Story 2 and I love Moana and I love whatever people like. Boo!
I like Moana.
Yeah.
It's a good movie.
Yeah. Mm. Everybody's like, boo, think of it. Where's Batman?
Any of them.
Yeah. God. Where's David Lynch Dune for some reason?
What is your favorite comic book movie?
Of all time?
Yeah.
Iron Man 1.
That's a good movie.
It is a good movie.
I'm happy to.
I would even say like.
Because people would say The Dark Knight. Heath Ledger's performance alone.
That is a good movie.
You might say the movie Joker.
Yeah.
God, is it Iron Man? I mean, is that because that's pure comic book movie?
Yeah, and because they tried the hardest, I think, as well.
You don't think they tried in The Dark Knight?
Oh, okay, no, I would include that as well. I think they're pretty close to tied.
Okay.
But I don't love that version of Batman, ultimately.
No, I hear what you're saying. What about Superman 2? That's a good one. Watchmen? Logan? No. Spider-Man 2?
Watchmen?
This is the list.
Wow.
Ant-Man?
Yeah.
Ant-Man? You know what is really good?
Yes. I know you what don't... if I was like...
Ant-Man?
Yeah. What if I was like, I love the movie, I love Bicycle Thieves and I love Le Samurai and I love Before Sunrise, but I also love Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania. What if that was my four?
This is a newer one, but The Suicide Squad is really great. I feel like that's similar
that
to
is,
Iron Man in the sense that, like, you've nailed every element of this.
Because they and had to, and by the necessity.
Even though I made no money, and the comic book element. Here's one. Look, I think Batman Begins, I don't know if it's better than The Dark Knight, but Batman Begins is, like, it's a phenomenal movie.
Yeah.
And the start of a new universe, and there was so much, like, potential of which direction this could go.
Yeah.
And then it's just all crap after that, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, Winter Soldier's good. Is that up there? X-Men... Days of Future Past, The Rogue Cut.
Oh, yeah.
Kick-Ass. These are all good movies. I don't know. Maybe it is Iron Man. Interesting. All right, Mason. Got this one from Ethan who says, hashtag Weekly Planet Pod. So there's an article at comicbookmovie.com where they talked about there's going to be a G.I. Joe Transformers crossover.
Oh, that's right.
And Ethan says, does this mean that Rise of the Beast was ineligible for last year's The Game is On award? More to the point, after covering other movies in the franchises, does that mean Snake Eyes will finally have to be covered? Okay, so I went to this article and I'm like, what are they actually saying about the G.I. Joe Transformers crossover that was hinted at lovingly? And so they spoke to Lorenzo Di Bonaventura, who's also talking about Madam Web at the moment, but he also produced the Transformers movie, some of them, and asked about the G.I. Joe crossover. He said, the honest truth is I don't know. I know we are going to deliver on the promise we made. So he didn't say we're going to make it. He said, I don't know, but I know we're going to deliver on the promise we made. And I don't think they are necessarily going to deliver on it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Hmm. I think that kind of landed with a wet thud, that whole situation. And that movie didn't do as well as they probably wanted it
That's
to do.
That's true.
Outside of merch. So if a movie does end up getting a sequel, a Game Is On movie, does that invalidate it?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Because the Madam Web is obviously up there this year.
Oh, boy.
We've got about two already.
Yeah.
The two movies that we've gone to the cinemas and reviewed specifically have both the Game Is On us.
That's so true.
Anything else?
Let's find one more, James.
All righty then. Yes. I'm Mace Ventura.
It's
all righty.
Oh, hello. Yeah. Ooh, okay. This is from Jeremiah.
Jeremiah was an email.
Email doing an email.
What's his deal? Can you know?
A letter about bad movies by good directors. Because we were talking earlier about these guys who wrote a bunch of bad movies, but they can't be that bad.
I love good movies.
Right?
Yeah.
Hey, boys, first off, thank you so much for the years of laughs. I found the show during lockdown and it quickly became the soundtrack to walks with my dog down deserted roads, filling out job applications, driving to job interviews, and eventually many breakdowns at my new job at a mental health clinic. It's just giggling breakdowns.
I'm loving
My question is, what are some of your least favorite movies by directors who you otherwise think are great at what they do? I was recently watching every Coen Brothers movie and was stunned how bad The Lady Killers was.
Oh, The Lady Killers. I remember that.
Tom Hanks.
Yeah.
It's a remake, I think.
Yeah, it is.
Not just by the standards of a pair who have directed six or seven certifiable modern classics, but in general, are there any movies that left you in a similar headspace of what the hell were you trying to pull off here, man? Ocean's 12.
That's a great point.
Yeah.
The original Lady Killers had Alec Guinness.
Oh, yeah.
So Danny Boyle did a hypnosis movie.
Was that recently?
Yeah, like it's called Hypnotic. Trance or Hypnotic or something like that.
And it's got a guy being like, oh, it's Ben Affleck's in it.
No, that's a different one.
Okay, right.
This is the James McAvoy one.
There's a Ben Affleck movie where they're like, that guy's a hypnotic. You got to watch out. He's going to do a hypnotic on you. You know?
It's not that one, but I hear what you're saying. Yeah. So that's not a good movie,
okay.
I would say. What about you? What's something else?
Let me think. Who's a great director?
I think Ridley Scott is a great director, but then he made that Robin Hood movie. And I know people have said he hasn't made anything good recently, but I think he has.
Mm.
If you look at like... Apparently, Gladiator 2 is really good. Have you seen it? That's what they
have. Have I seen Gladiator 2? Yeah, it's pretty good.
Second Gladiator.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I saw it, you know, way in advance.
And?
He sent me an advanced copy. Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah. Because he did The Martian, and he did, what else did he do that was good recently? He did The Last Duel.
Yeah.
He did that.
Oh, I hate Looper.
You hate Looper.
Yeah.
But you love The Last Jedi.
Yes. Yes. Yes, James.
Yes.
Yes.
That's interesting that you hate Looper, a good movie.
I don't think it is.
No? How about this?
Yes.
I think The Force Awakens is pretty good for what it's supposed to be.
Sure, okay.
I'm not saying great, but then Rise of Skywalker was absolutely fucking atrocious.
Mm.
That's the same director. And those are two movies. Yeah. What about if you looked at like, you know Favreau made Iron Man, your favorite movie.
I do.
What are some Favreau movies? Like you hated The Lion King.
That would be a good one.
Example.
That is slop.
I was going to say like Cowboys and Aliens, but there's some elements of fun to Cowboys and Aliens.
That's true.
From memory. That's a good question though.
I don't love a lot of stuff Kubrick. Is it anything he's done really?
Anything?
I don't know.
What about Sexy Eyes Wide Shut?
No, I don't like it.
No? What else do you not like of his?
I don't really like The Shining.
No,
I like The Shining. I don't like it. Let's go through his.
All right, let's do it now.
Okay. I don't really like 2001 A Space Odyssey.
I like that.
Okay. I do like Full Metal Jacket.
Yep.
Okay.
What about Lolita?
I have not seen it.
I have not seen it either. I don't want to rent that.
Exactly.
I mean, I know it's not like,
Exactly.
I
Barry Lyndon and I like Full Metal Jacket.
I haven't seen Barry Lyndon.
Pretty much everything else is a miss for me.
Spartacus.
Oh, Dr. Strangelove. Okay.
Spartacus I saw years ago. I couldn't tell you anything about it.
You're right.
What about AI, artificial intelligence, but the Steven Spielberg one?
I hate it. I like it.
Because that was supposed
twee.
To be Kubrick.
It's so twee.
It's twee.
Yeah.
It's Barry Lyndon about. Irish Rogue.
That's right.
Cool, man.
Oh, Ryan O'Neill.
Cool. Have I seen Dr. Strangelove?
You've seen parodies of Dr. Strangelove.
Yeah, I've seen it on The Simpsons. Mm-hmm. You've seen Parts of Glory? Parts of Glory? Parts of Glory?
No.
Parts of Glory?
No. I've seen Balls of Fury.
And? Goodness gracious.
Yeah.
Great Balls of Fury.
That's exactly right.
Should we?
Let's wrap it up.
Yeah, man.
Madam Webuary.
We did it.
It's come to an end.
Yep.
Forever.
Yeah.
Unless we want to keep it rolling. We could watch it again.
I mean, we'll probably end up doing a commentary on it.
Great.
Yeah. And then we'll eventually do the Spum Caravan of Garbage.
We could do it next week. We could just do it in the cinema.
Yeah, we could.
Because it's going to be second week of Madam Web, so we could just go in there and there'll be nobody else. Yeah, bring in the recording equipment. We'll pay for extra seats.
That's bold of you to assume that
it's still going to be playing. Folks, thank you so much for listening. We absolutely appreciate it. Thank you for telling your friends about the podcast because that is how we get new listeners.
It's true.
And thank you for leaving a 5-star review on your podcatcher of choice. You can just do it in app. And if you do so, James will read out your review.
And
guaranteed. Even if we stop doing the podcast, James is going to have to keep doing reviews.
Yep, that's right. This one's from Jin Harbour who says, 5 stars. Thanks.
Thanks
for all the laughs ever since I hate clicked one of your red circle arrows pointing videos in 2015 and was surprised to find two funny gentlemen with fun. I got a lot of people that way, Mason,
yeah.
With fun casual banter. My only complaint is James is a coward for changing my favorite part of the podcast intro song. No, I didn't.
Interesting. That's very interesting.
And this one's from Setma who says, amazing 100% of the time, 80% of the time. Comic, come for the red hot comic book movie news straight into your butthole and stay for the da-na-na-na-na-na-na, what are we, Westworld today? And no, I did not have a mild stroke while writing this. I'm glad. I don't even know what you're talking about. I'm reading that. I don't know what you mean.
Folks, if you want to get in, if you want to get into contact,
if you
want to
get in,
you want to get in,
you got to be in it to win it.
That's so true. If you want to get in contact with us, you can go to weeklyplanet@gmail.com. You can go to the Planet Broadcasting Great Mates Facebook group and the Weekly Planet Podcast subreddit and Discord for fun civil chats about podcasts and pop culture of all kinds. If you want to follow some people on the socials, you should follow our friend Rob Collings. He's at Rob Collings on Twitter. He's at The Weekly Planet on Twitter. He'll keep you updated on all things The Weekly Planet. You can follow me on Twitter at Wikipedia Brown and Nick Meso on Instagram. James is Mr. Sunday Movies everywhere. Speaking of the Facebook group, thank you to Sarabi and Maisie and Fidel for keeping it all rolling along in there.
You don't mind?
I don't mind at all.
Yeah, because you were talking to me about shutting it down. You're like, you want to...
Because there's a big button.
Yeah.
You can just push the button and it's like, do you really want to delete it?
I don't even think it asks. I think it just deletes immediately.
That's great. Folks, if you want to support the show, you go to patreon.com/MrSundayMovies, chucking a buck or an amount. You wouldn't miss it for one away.
We don't mind.
That's right. Or you can go to bigsandwich.co, $9 per month, US.
Yeah.
Talk about that inflation. It's nice. It's always been 9 US.
Yeah.
For
now.
That's exactly right. Bonus podcasts, early videos, movie commentaries, video game let's plays,
this week we've got a Roadhouse movie commentary.
That's right. I had a lot of fun.
Roadhouse must be coming out soon. Yeah.
That's fun.
Some Roadhouse developments this week about everybody involved in Roadhouse or the creatives took more money to maybe put it on streaming.
Oh, okay.
And so when Doug Liman was like, well, this should have gone to whatever, but he hasn't said anything about it yet, so I don't know. Because initially he was like, I'm boycotting this because of whatever.
We'll talk
about it.
You think this is below board?
I don't know. What's happening?
All right.
I don't know, movies.
That's right.
I'm only forced to watch them for work.
That's right. You want a T-shirt? You go to tpublic.com. You search for The Weekly Planet. Thank you to The Brute and The Basilisk and Rackham for a musical theme.
Yes.
Next week, a different thing. We're going to watch Madam Web again.
Yep, that's right.
We're going to watch it on Twitter in little snippets. Or somebody will be like, hey, whatever, man, is Madam Web in its entirety.
Yep.
Pretty cool.
Pretty cool.
Pretty cool.
All right, everybody, thanks for listening.
Grab that gem, you guys. We'll see you next week.
Goodbye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.